The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 24th day of April, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow down 23, S&P up almost 1, Comp is down 5, gold is up $14.90, crude is up $1.84, Apple is down $6 after reporting earnings. How are you? Hope you had a great afternoon, evening, and morning since I last saw you and spoke with you. We had a couple of great guests yesterday. We talked to Douglas Rushkoff. His book is Future Shock? No, Current Shock. You saw it. Interesting guy. He coined a lot of really important phrases like social currency. I forget the other ones. I read them in his bio yesterday, but I think we'll have him back again. He started to loosen up a little towards the end. The other interview we did was with Steve White, the developer of Crackpot Cube. Now, this is a startup, okay? When you go to the website and you play with the cube, there's still a little bit of coding left to be done. Am I right? Yeah, there is. Okay, but this is a startup. You're just getting ready to do their Kickstarter, and I wasn't even going to let him get me started on that yesterday, nor did I want to rain on his parade because, you know, these little tech companies, they can find a good Kickstarter audience. And Kickstarter certainly bends their own rules for tech companies. They did it for Pebble. Why wouldn't they do it for the Crackpot Cube? Today, we are looking at the S&P 500 E-mini futures up on the big screen. This is the hourly chart. If you can't see the chart and you can only hear the audio, go to the homepage, cfrn.net. On the right-hand side, click the big microphone, follow the instructions. Everybody has to register once per month. But that's it. You register today, you're done through the end of the month, and then we all register again on May 1st, and we're good for another month. Okay? I don't have our good word for the day prepared. It just dawned on me. Whoops. That's the new way to start off the show each and every day, but not today. Yesterday, we had some time constraints with the guest, but that's okay. We're not going to let that get in the way anymore either. So, mea culpa. I think that's how they say that. All right, the price action up here, we're up at the top. We've been up at the top. Last night, we had what appeared to be a potential head and shoulders setting up, and if it still is, that's just become the weirdest one ever, and it might even have a new head. This is the beast that wouldn't die. We had a shoulder. We had a head. We had something that was slightly shoulderish as it started to build. But then once it started to build, it just kept going. It just kept going. And so we actually, based on the high here, we have another head. This becomes a shoulder now and potentially a shoulder over here. I had drawn the neckline, but then I was looking at the low of this hourly candle, and I said, well, if this is a neck, that's a necktie. And so I tweeted that out, and it prompted a lot of response. Like, what's a necktie? What is that? Never heard that. Is that some new chart pattern? That's just something I made up. My point being is you could trade a break of the neck, okay, or you could trade a break of the bottom of this candle, so lack of a better term, I call it the necktie, or that could change the way you even draw the neck. Entirely up to you. This is all very subjective. Now, sometimes a head and shoulders is not subjective at all. It's just like so clear cut, nobody can miss it. Other times, you got to get a little bit creative. So you can see here, shoulder, head, shoulder-ish, but now it's more like head. This whole thingamajig over here is shoulder. And now we're putting together a shoulder over here. Can you see it? Can you make your mind's eye pick up on that? And then what do we still have? Right there. The neck still in place. The necktie. The gig line. Some of you actually know what a gig line is. That's scary. All right, let me see if there's any questions in the chat box. All right, no, I'm going to run through this real quick. Yeah, you know what? Let's take a peek at the headlines. See what we got. Anything big going on in the world today? Oh, I talked to you yesterday about Netflix. You got to love Netflix. It's just a great thing. I mean, well, unless you consider it to be some insidious evil that has crept into your home and now has all the members of your family transfixed in opposing rooms. Now, think about it. Family night around the TV. That's as American as my three sons, okay? But now you can stream four separate feeds off of one Netflix account. So the whole family, they're sitting at dinner, and it's like, hey, you guys want to watch some TV after dinner? Okay, Dad, let's do it. So Dad goes to his office and watches one thing. Mom goes to her bedroom and watches something else. And the kids each go to their own room, and they watch something else. Now, there's a family night gathered around the TV. I suppose we could all have our second screen out and be texting back and forth, right? Now, I heard a new statistic on this second screen business yesterday. We talked about it on the show, but 90% penetration. In other words, 90% of households, if they're watching TV at night, they've got a second screen. And TV, rather than running from this or being afraid of this. They are embracing it more and more. You see TV shows that during the live broadcast of the show, their hashtags appearing on the screen. They're wanting you to not just passively watch this television program, they're wanting you to actively participate in the discussion, much like we do right here on this radio program. That's one of the reasons we have you register to come into the chart room, not just so you can see the charts, but so you can participate in the discussion. There's a chat box, you can type in questions, answers, quips, one-liners, whatever. All right? Join the party. When you go to that page after clicking the great big microphone, you just follow the instructions. You click the green button that says Watch Live Now. It brings you right on in here so you can see the charts. We talked about Windows 8 bringing back the Start button, so we won't go into that again today. We will talk about gold and what happened last week. Art Cashin at UBS, he's the director of floor operations, passed along a theory tied to the world of structured financial products. In short, a structured product is an investment vehicle that gives the client tailored exposure to the markets. It usually employs derivatives like options and swaps. If you listen carefully, you'll really start to understand some of what happened to gold. Now, this morning, Cashin advances the idea that pension funds invested in structured products tied to gold had safeguards in place that would force these products to unwind should the price of gold fall below $1,530 an ounce. Ask anyone in any of those pensions, are you invested in gold? To a man, they would probably say no. But yet, they were. Now, was there a mystery guest at last week's gold massacre? As you may recall, the Friday-Monday gold massacre had more than a few strange aspects. As prices plunged in the pits, gold coin shops were said to be swamped with near-record demand. The puzzles and conspiracy theories were still very much alive on Wednesday the 17th, when in a pre-dawn interview on CNBC, Brian Reynolds of Rosenblatt Securities suggested, rather matter-of-factly, that a good deal of the carnage in gold might have come from the unwinding of some structured products held by pension funds. Fascinated, this is Art writing, I reached out to Brian to learn more about how structured products, big in the mortgage meltdown, were suddenly adding leverage and danger to the gold market. Apparently, it all starts with an old familiar premise. Pension funds and others desperate for yield and greater return in this ongoing age of QE and zero interest rates. Say oil has averaged $95 over the past few weeks or months. The wizards of Wall Street might structure kickout triggers at perhaps $75 and $115. Should oil fall below $75, the structured contract would terminate, leaving the issuing bank with an unexpected and unwelcome position in oil in a falling market. Reynolds says the urge to dump that position is compounded by balance sheet limits contained in Dodd-Frank. Okay, back to gold. Here's what Brian wrote somewhat prophetically back on February 21st, long before the waterfall in gold began. Here's what he said. The caps and floors associated with structured finance tend to leave participants long or short at the worst possible time. We remind people that there are likely caps and floors associated with structured finance positions in gold around the 1530 and 1800 areas. So it should not be unusual to see rumors pick up as the metal nears those areas. If the floor gets broken decisively, participants may find themselves unexpectedly long and rush to quickly dispose of those unwanted positions. When gold broke through 1530, the cascade began. How much of the free fall had to do with structured products? There's no way to tell just yet. It's a topic worth pursuing since the Bank for International Settlements says the value of commodity-related contracts is in the multi-trillions. Should this be true, then it means that at least some pension funds are continuing to get banged up. And that's from Arkashin. And that helps you to understand a little bit more about how once that gold thing started to unwind, it had to go until, as we said the other day, the last guy puked. And we're up today again. Twitter yesterday had a hiccup. It was hacked, put out a false report over the AP Twitter feed that there was a bomb going off in the White House. The president was injured. Twitter is already working on a system to make sure something like this doesn't happen in the future. It's akin to Google's two-step verification process for Gmail. This exists now for Gmail. You may or may not be using it. You probably should. It's available for PayPal, and I use it for that. In other words, I have to log in with my password, but once I log in with my password, I then have to hit a button for it to send me a code via my cell phone. I get the code on my cell phone. I then punch in the code. Then it allows me to access my account. But this two-step authentication is probably coming to every platform near you pretty soon. Wired reports that when you log in from a new location, Twitter system will ask you for your password as usual, but will also send an additional randomized login to your mobile device. As Wired puts it, accessing an account requires having two things now, something you know, which is your password, and something you have, a previously registered device. So if someone hacks your computer, steals your password, they still don't have access to your accounts unless they steal your password and your cell phone. Now, Twitter ultimately will roll out this two-step solution. How soon will they enforce the use of it? I don't know, but in the meantime, protect your password. And run a virus scan every day. Run it at night while you're asleep. A week and a half ago, Bitcoin crashed and fell to the mid-60s. It had been in the mid-200s. After that spike and collapse, things quieted down. People stopped talking about it. What's happened since then? It's tripled. It's ran back up to $158 per Bitcoin. And of course, Apple tanking down $6 or so on the day. They reported earnings not good. The stock was down 3% this morning. After earnings were released, Apple was up as much as 5% after hours. But once people digested the report and listened to Tim Cook on the earnings call, it really started to crumble. Here's the story. Instead of being a hyper-growth company, Apple has simply become a cash cow. It has new products in the works, but they're not coming out to the fall. And even when those products hit, they're not going to be as lucrative or successful as the iPhone. Because Apple generates so much money, a return to big growth at this point is nearly impossible. So now you have a company that is neither here nor there. It's not a safe bet because technology is unpredictable. And the management team has not proven an ability to produce visionary products with Steve Jobs gone. And it's not a high-growth tech company either. Throw in the fact that Apple issued really soft guidance, which is sending analysts scrambling to readjust their models, and it's not going to be easy for Apple to bounce back. So that is it for the headlines. Up on the big screen, one more time, S&P 500 E-mini futures. We had a tweet earlier in the week to be long above 1555, to consider adding above 63. We had a nice run up to this zone at 7071, consolidated for a couple hours, got on the north side, did a pullback, flash crash. That's the Twitter yesterday that came out. And there's a lot of discussion we could add to this. This happened so quickly. This wasn't people reading the news and reacting. This was something very different. We'll talk about that, if not today, in a show later this week. So price holds up above the weekly trading zone at 7071, makes a run, pulls back to the zone, attempts another run, comes within 1 point of getting triggered into a new tweet, comes back to the zone, this time to the tick, Prince of Doji, and here we sit, hovering right above the 1570/71 weekly trading zone. This tweet had 20 points of potential in it. We have another tweet just overhead, and we do have one final weekly trading zone up, up and away in the wild blue yonder. And if price can hold above 70/71, there's a very good chance we might see it between now and close of business on Friday. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
All right, let's do the recap.
All right. Hold on.
You ready to go?
Yeah, I am. I am ready to go. Let me just grab the charts.
Got an email from Mike Reed today. He said he's going to try to drop by and pay us a visit. I think Rob's going to call in today around 1 Eastern. We don't have any other guests lined up today. Possibly tomorrow, next Wednesday, we have Emily May from iHollaback.org. She's going to be with us, and that's going to be interesting.
All right. I just noticed something. Well, we'll see how this works. Watch your recording right now to see how it reacts once I hit record. All right, here we go. I'm going to start rolling it. All right, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, I guess. Today is the 24th day of April, 2013. It is Wednesday. Let's go over the results to start with, okay? We had plus 10 ticks on the Russell, minus 12 ticks on gold, plus 16 ticks on soybeans, plus 1 tick on crude oil, and minus 8 ticks on copper. All right, I'll go over the spreadsheet here for you in just a minute. It took us 75 minutes. Let me just bring the spreadsheet up. I wrote it all down this morning, or I typed it all in this morning. All right, to get our 2 points, it took us 75 minutes and 8 trades this morning. We were at plus $110 per contract at that time. We had a total of 12 trades today. All right, so far on the month, we are plus $3,895 a contract on 170 trades. That is in 16 trading days. Okay, 16 trading days. We took a couple of days off this month. Let's see, so the results, as I said, on the soybeans, we were plus 16. On the Russell, we were plus 10. On crude oil, we were plus 1. Gold, we were minus 12. And on copper, we were minus 8. Okay. On copper, we were minus 8. That is where we stand. You can see the markets that we made the most money on so far this month. The Russell 2000 is where we made the majority of our money this month. $1,760 a contract there. Gold was next at $1,150. Then crude oil. Then soybeans, we had minus eight. Yeah, okay, so soybeans and the other markets over here, the yen and copper, and that they're about equal, okay? Not traded a whole bunch. So that's where we stand on the month, plus $3,895 per contract. Now, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get 5 business days, 5 luxurious business days in our live trading room. Now, when you sign up for the free trial, you'll be sent an email that shows you how to download everything, that shows you how to download the charting platform, how to download the indicators. Once you have the indicators installed from the indicator store, let me just go over that really quickly for you. In case anybody doesn't know how to do it, I just right-clicked on the chart. That's what I did. I right-clicked. I went to Indicators. Down at the very bottom, it says Indicator Store. Then another window is going to pop up somewhere for you. For me, it pops up way over on that other monitor. At the bottom of the Indicator Store, there's a thing here that says CFRN Indicator Set. You right-click on that, left-click on Install. Okay, that's all you have to do. Once you get that green check mark next to it, that means it's installed. It's going to prompt you to then log off and log back on to DT Pro. All right, it's really a pretty simple process. You just log off, log back on. Then you will have the indicators over here on the side in a thing called CFRN. All the indicators will be in here. All right. The indicators that I use on my charts are this one, CFRN, the CFRN. You click on that. It'll come up like this. You don't need to do anything. Just put it on. That's all three of these lines on the price channel. I mean, on the price chart. The next thing you do is you go to CFRN, then CF slingshot, like that. All right. You don't need to do anything. It'll put it down there at the bottom. You got to make sure that this is checked. It should be checked by default. Okay, it should be checked by default. That is going to put it down at the bottom. If it is not checked, you need to check it. Otherwise, it's going to try to put it up here where price is, and it'll throw the scaling off, and you'll be left with a flat line. Okay? So make sure that this is checked when you apply the CF slingshot. All right? Simple as that. And then your charts will look just like mine. Once you've done that, you can go to File, Save Template, and give the template a name. Call it something. You know, I call this one CFRN. See, pretty straightforward, since we are CFRN. And then you can go to another chart, like this one over here. See, this one is named Copper. But if I wanted to apply the same indicators as the CFRN, I would just click on CFRN here. Okay. Go to File, Apply Template, and choose CFRN. And it would apply the CFRN template, like this one. Or if I wanted to apply the copper template, I would choose copper, and it would change it to the copper template. Okay? You see how it just changed the name up there? Now it's going to take it a second to load this thing, but it'll change it to the copper template. It's pretty close to the same thing as the CFRN template. See? That's the copper template. And to change it back, you go apply template, back to CFRN. Pretty straightforward. Now, once that loads up, I'll go through the trades. Okay, I just wanted to go through that because I know I don't show these things in here on this recap very often, and I know there's a lot of people in here that have questions about these sorts of things in the beginning. Okay, so that's it. Now let's move on to the trades. Okay, on the Russell, not the Russell, on the crude oil. This is crude oil. We had crude inventories come out today. Now, the crude was, well, it had some decent trades today, but I only took, I think I took one, right? One, two? One crude trade. This was my one crude trade right here. We had the bullish cross, a test of the BBC with an up close with blue on the cycle. I got long in here. Once it closed up above the MA1, I moved my stop to break even plus a tick. It came back and took me out at break even plus a tick. All right. It moved up, I don't know, 5 or 6 ticks from the entry. Then turned around, came back down. There were more entries in here on the crude. I didn't take them in here. This was going into the high of the day. That's why I didn't take that one. This dropped down. This was going into the high of the day again over here. I didn't take that one. Okay, Bert. I gotcha. Yeah, there were more opportunities during the day. I didn't take any of them. I took that one trade there on crude this morning. If we scroll back here, it was pretty choppy in here in the morning, right at the open, you know, for the first half an hour or so. Then there were some opportunities in here. Not a lot of room to run once it closed up above the trend line here. You know, the green line was almost in the cycle, so there wasn't much room to run in there. But crude didn't give a whole bunch of opportunity today, and that's why I only had one trade on it. All right, I'm going to jump over to the Russell next. The Russell, we had quite a few trades on. Well, I show 4 trades on the Russell. There they are. Oh, 5 trades. 5 trades on the Russell. And I got to go back and update my spreadsheet. 5 trades on the Russell. We had 13 trades today. Hold on. Okay. The first one, the first very first trade we took right out of the gate here, we lost. Got a losing trade on that one. The next one, right over here, we got all that back plus a tick. All right. After that, there were a bunch of trades in here we missed. There was one there, nothing there, but there was nothing in here. There was one right over here we missed on the short side. Now there were a bunch of trades that we missed in here on the Russell. And there were a bunch of trades that we got, too. We missed this one. We took this, and we ended up getting a break-even on it. We took this, and we got some profit. I don't know how much. I think 5 ticks profit on that. We took this, and we got some profit on that, too, to bring us up to plus 10 ticks. I think this was the last one that we took. We ended up missing this trade. We tried to get in it, but we missed it. I think we tried to get in that, and we ended up missing that one, too. It turned around and went in the other direction. I didn't want to take this trade right in here because it was going sideways right in here. We had lower highs and higher lows. It was going sideways right in here, all the markets. I was right at the end of the morning session. All right, since then, well, it's been a little choppy in here. There hasn't been a lot of movement one way or the other. All right, that is the Russell. We ended the Russell plus 10 ticks. Now, gold. We traded gold this morning a few times. I just wanted to see if gold was tradable, and it turns out it's not. It wasn't terribly tradable anyway. Our first trade on gold was right in here. We went long right in here, and we took some profit here. We were up on gold at that point. The next trade we took on gold was right over here. You know, we took a down close off the BBC. That stopped us out, minus 8 ticks. The next trade we took, we missed this one in here. And we took this one in here. That also stopped us out, minus 8 ticks. So we're plus 4 here, minus 8 here, minus 8 here. Minus 12 total on the gold today. Okay? We missed more trades. There was a losing trade right here, a winning trade here, a winning trade here. Let's see, another winning trade in here. Another winning trade over here. You would have been looking to get long way over here. I think that would have been another winning trade and another winning trade right in here. Okay. On the short side, there was a winning trade here, here, and in here. But gold was really, really jumpy. Okay, so I just put it aside and stopped trading it. The reason I brought copper into the picture is because I wanted to have another metal commodity to trade. Okay, I see, Frank. Right in here, you mean. I wanted to have another metal commodity to trade, and copper, it performed really well when I was looking at it the other night, and I was just applying all the same stuff to it. It goes a little slower. It's got about half the volume of gold, so it goes a little slower. Okay. That's why I brought copper into the picture. Let's see, on the NQ, I had pointed out some trades on the NQ this morning as well, right in here. A short trade in here, a long trade, a short trade here. Now, I'm not going through all the exact trade setups. Now, if you've been here for a while, you know how to do all this. If you haven't been here for a while and this is all new to you, what you need to take away from this is that we're doing the exact same thing on every single market that we trade. We have one set of indicators. We have one time frame. We have two trade setups that we use. They're basically the same trade setup. One is just a continuation trade, and one is you wait for the pullback. Now, both of them you wait for a pullback, but one, you grab it with momentum. The other is you wait until it hits the BBC. Now, all that said, I want you to take away from this that we're using the same time frames, the same indicators, the same trade setup on every single market that we trade. Okay? So, it may seem like there's a lot going on in here, but there's really not that much. Once you figure out the trade setup, it's really pretty straightforward. You know, you pick your markets, you trade those markets, and that's it. That's all there is to it. You know, we don't jump around to different time frames. We don't have different trade setups for different time frames. We don't do those sorts of things. Okay? Now, let's see. We have in here, what was this, the NQ? I was just going back to show you where some trade setups were on the NQ. There were a bunch of them in here that I didn't pick, but I picked all these that were happening in the live trading room when they were happening. Okay? And I know there was some more. I know there was one in here that lost somewhere. There was one losing trade in here. Oh, that's... Well, I've gone into yesterday now. But I know we had one losing trade this morning. One trade that I picked that just did not go in the direction that I had chosen. This one. Right here. All right, that totally turned around and went the other way. But you know what? You're risking 8 ticks on it. You know, you easily got 8 ticks there and there. You lost 8 there, but you know, you made it back easily over here and here. And now again in here, probably. There's just a ton of opportunity with all these different markets. Okay. Let me jump over here to soybeans, because we made a couple of trades on soybeans this morning. We missed a couple, and we made a couple. Now, the first thing we did on soybeans was we shorted right in here on a down close below this trend line. All right. The down close below this trend line, we shorted. It pulled back quite a ways. It almost stopped us out, and then it advanced 3 cents in our favor. All right. We tried to get in it right here when it closed down below that trend line, but we missed it. And we tried to get in it again here, but we missed that one. We did finally get in on this one. We put a sell stop in on this one, and we got in at 47 even, 1347 even, and we took 4 more ticks off of that, down to 1346. It had gone from 1347 all the way down to 1344, 1344 and a half for a 10-tick gain. We ended up only getting 4 ticks out of that, unfortunately. Let's see, we were looking for more opportunity here, but we ran out of time in the live trading room. There was one more spot right over here on the soybeans where you could have traded it. The down close off the BBC with bearish divergence in a red cycle right there. Okay. That is something we're going to discuss in the partners meeting. You see that? I'm not moving my mouse right now. You see how that's moving around? Anyway. That's something, Gary, the extra line over there on the copper is something we're going to discuss in the partners meeting. Okay. Let's see, on the soybeans, we had that opportunity right here, and there was just another one actually right here on the down close. Okay, right there on the soybeans. Okay. All right. That was the soybeans. On the ES, there were some trades on the ES on this morning. There was a long trade right in here. That worked out well. Another long trade that followed up right here that did not work out well. A short trade over here. Well, that was going into the zone, so we weren't really looking at that for an opportunity because it was going into the weekly trading zone. Then we don't really have anything over here for divergence. So we had a win and a loss there on the ES that came together this morning. Okay. Not a lot happening there. On the copper, we took 2 trades on copper today. This one right here ended up losing. Now, from the beginning, when it got us in, it went up, but it only went up 3 ticks, not enough for me to move my stop to break even. Then it turned around and stopped me out. I missed the shorting opportunity after it stopped me out right there. Then it turned around and went long. On this one, it moved up pretty quickly. I moved my stop up, and it took me out of break even. It did end up going up. You know, we had the direction right. It just ended up stopping me out of break even first. Now, over here on this one right here, it dropped right through. Why did I have this circled? It dropped right through the BBC and didn't give an opportunity over there. On the short side right now, as a matter of fact, on the copper, it's got a shorting opportunity right now. Okay, right there at 316 and a quarter on the copper. 316 and a quarter is a shorting opportunity. I'm actually trying to put that trade on right now. I just filled on it. All right, so that was the copper. Now, the euro, we were down 8 ticks on copper. 2 trades, down 8 ticks. We lost the first one, which could break even on the second one. Okay, on the euro, we didn't take any trades on the euro, but there were some nice trades that set up here. Okay, in the pre-market, right in here, you had your bearish cross, tested the BBC with a down close and bearish divergence. So there was a spot right here. There was a follow-up trade on that right over here, if you wanted to take it. There was a third trade altogether right in there. And then once U.S. markets opened up, there was a long trade right in here on that up close right there. Okay. And that was pretty much it. That was it on the euro. So we had plenty of opportunity there today. Between the euro, the ES, the soybeans, the NQ, gold, even though gold kicked my butt this morning, the Russell, and crude oil, There was a... Oh, that's why I was going to take a picture of that. That's why I circled that. Thanks. Would I distinguish a continuation setup? You bet. I will. This right here is a continuation setup. All right. When you're using the trend line, that's a continuation setup. All right. If it's bouncing off the BBC and the cycle is red, that's using the trend line. Okay, let me just bring the picture up for you. Here's the picture. Okay. If you look over here on the short side, you look for the step one is the cross of the MA1 below the BBC. Step two is price pulls away from the BBC. So you had step one right here, step two right there. Step three is it came up and tested the BBC and gave a down close. That's step three. Step four is bearish divergence with a red cycle. Okay? You see? Just like in the picture. Bearish divergence with a red cycle. Okay, so the entry on that one was right here at 1348.75. Okay. And you see it did pull back up to 1349, so you would have filled on that. The next one, when it started to move down, the next one, there was so much momentum on the downside that it didn't pull all the way back up. Hang on, I'm trying to bring my other picture over. That it didn't pull all the way back up to the BBC. You see right over here on this picture? So you have to draw the trend line up. This is a continuation trade. Okay. This is a continuation trade. You have to draw the trend line up the bottoms like that. And you look for a confirmation of a close on the other side of the trend line in the direction of the trend. Now, if you're looking to go short, you want a down close on the other side of the trend line. Once you get that down close, that's a continuation trade. You still want to have divergence down here. The cycle does not have to be red, but you still want to have divergence. Okay, like right here, for instance, it's setting up again. There's the trend line. Here's your divergence. Okay. Here's your divergence. So you need a down close. On a down close, you can enter short. That is a continuation trade. Okay, the high is 1344.75. If the high stays in place, the low of this bar is going to be 1343.75. 1343.75. So if you just wait for it to close down, you can put an order on there at 1343.75. Or, you know, look to get in when it gives the down close, look to get in at 1343.50 maybe, if you want. Okay, as long as the high stays in place, that's what should happen here. Simple as that. All right. With that, guys, I'm going to mention to you all, if you have not taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. If you have taken the free trial and you want to become a partner, just send us an email at support@cfrn.net, and we'll send you off all the information required to become a partner. There is a partners meeting tomorrow night. If you are currently on the free trial and you want to get into that partners meeting tomorrow night, find out how you could have gone short right over here, how and why you would have gone short right over here instead of looking for the long trade. If you want to do that, get into the partners meeting tomorrow night, then take care of the paperwork. You should have an email in your inbox that says how to become a partner. If you do not have that email in your inbox right now, then send us a quick email at support@cfrn.net, and we will get it out to you. All right. With that, I'm going to wrap up the recording. Wait, there was one more. Can you have either bearish or bullish divergence on a downtrade? You got to have bearish divergence on the downtrade. It's got to be bearish divergence. Okay, the cycle doesn't have to be red, but it's got to be bearish divergence. Okay. All right. I think that's all the questions. James, I see your request. I will try to do that for you. And that's it. I'm going to wrap it up, and recording is off. Okay.
All right. Very good. Thanks so much. Mike Reed's in the house. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Hello, Dwayne. Hi, Michael. I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Good.
What'd you think about that flash crash yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening at the time. It was a boom. Yeah, it was pretty quiet. Trend up trend up day, and then they started, they broke the trend, but they just kept going. I wasn't in a position. I wish I had had a position on at the time. But then they came back faster than they went down, so but that was, yeah, I didn't know what was going on, and I thought maybe it just was gonna get, you know, I didn't know news, but I know it was a pretty extreme, but I felt that the market was getting ready to probably turn volatile anyhow, so.
Yeah, now it's gotten real quiet up here, consolidating up above this 1570-71 weekly trading zone that we have. We have a tweet out there to be long above. I believe it's 1580 is the trigger, and the swing high we had overnight was 89, so, or 79, I'm sorry. And we put that out yesterday afternoon. Oh, and I wanted to show this picture. I showed you guys earlier that we had this potential head and shoulders last night with the neckline, and then I had said you could trade the break of the neck, standard technical analysis 101, or you could wait for a break of the necktie. And Paul, in an attempt to clarify that for everyone, he rose above and beyond the call of duty, as CFRN partners are known to do. And Paul went out, and he found the real necktie on that chart. Everybody, please, if you would stand to your feet and give Paul a round of well-deserved applause, the necktie trade.
Thank you for that, Paul. I like the other one, too.
Oh, yeah, the other one. Where did that go? I got it here somewhere. This is the gold chart. I can't get that one to open up, as you can see. Here's the necktie trade in the gold. That's pretty good, Paul. Good stuff, man. Keep those cards and letters coming, folks. So what else is going on, Mike?
Well, interesting. The market's at, we're up 3 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
My indicators, they haven't been getting overbought or oversold a whole lot, but they did today at a high, and they were at yesterday's close. So came into today looking to sell and do some early strength, and they nailed resistance, initial resistance at 77. We had 66.5, 67.5, basically, in that. So they hit that zone twice before coming down. So that was a nice little trade.
You mean 77, right?
I'm sorry, 77, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then, after the last poke up there, they came down like in 15 minutes and made a nice, just kept going for 15 minutes, and that was that move. And then, like you said, we've been chopping around. We did go back up on the second move, and failed, at 76 or 76.5 thereabouts. And that was also a scalping opportunity. The pullback and then a retracement to a lower high. That set up a trade there. With my indicators the way they are, I'm avoiding the long side unless we get a deeper pullback. Things are kind of mixed with the Dow heading down, and NASDAQ has been stronger, and the ES kind of stuck in the middle. So,
here's that great big triple top. The largest triple top in trading history, as I called it the other day, and I talked about on the blog, and I talked about, you know, how can you trade against it, where does a person find support. So for those of you that haven't read that, go out and check it out. There's two posts, actually. The one I wrote just the other day, triple top threat looms large, and then also the biggest triple top in trading history, certainly bears taking a look at. And something we've seen a lot of here, Mike, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, the Dow and the S&P tend to want to run in opposite directions. Typically and historically, they just play well together. If the Dow's positive, the S&P is going to be positive. If the S&P is up 10, the Dow will be up 100. I mean, that's just held true for a long period of time. But increasingly, the last couple of weeks, I see divergence where the Dow will be negative, the S&P is trying to go positive. So it's like this tug of war, and price seems to hover around the zero line. Now, when we started the show, the Dow was down 23, the S&P was up 1. Right now, we've got the Dow down 40, and the S&P down 1. So now they're both on the south side of the street. Do you want to talk about that for a minute and let folks know how that plays out with your work and your internals? What kind of a signal is the market sending us when we see the Dow go one way, the S&P the other? And do you think that we could contribute a lot of that to the fact that we're in earnings season right now?
Well, that could be. The way I see it and the way my work shows is that this last stage up, and I wish I could show you a chart, but there's been fewer and fewer.
I can share the desktop with you if you want to share a chart. I don't know if you're set up to do that, but
let's see.
Keep in mind for the future, anytime you want to show a chart, I can show it.
Okay, I don't have that spreadsheet on the PC that I'm currently speaking with you on. I'd have to move it over here, but maybe I'll do that on a day. This would have been a good day, but in any case, bigger picture anyhow, I could show it anytime. There's fewer and fewer stocks that are up on an average basis each day as we go higher and higher. So there's less participation. So it's basically thinning out, becoming more selective, and tend to see that towards the end of moves where fewer and fewer stocks. It's like on certain days they can expand a lot and give you too much too fast, and that's what we had coming into today. But when you look at it over the last month or so, last couple of months actually, the price, the S&P's making higher highs. Advanced decline indicators have been making lower highs and are actually in downtrends with the market in an uptrend. And that's really unusual to see. But that's what that's telling me. The Dow, I mean, with the Dow, that can be influenced by earnings when one stock out of 30 versus one stock out of 500 can move it. And also, the S&P is, S&P is dollar weighted, and the Dow is dollar weighted. I think the S&P is value weighted, so they can be more jumpy in the Dow. But on a day, like on a day like this, if they're going, yeah, one going one way, one going the other way, it makes things a bit more confusing, and unless there's something that just really has to grab you for you to want to put on a trade, I didn't care for it when it was not, when it was like that in the early going. So just was focusing on the S&P, but the Dow's broken down and made a new low for the day while everything else above by, you know, several points anyway on the ES. And don't know if that answers your question or if that's but on certainly on earnings days, those can skew the averages.
Let's take a peek at the Dow here, see what we've got on a daily. Let's go to a daily chart. There we go. Okay. So this is a daily, guys, on the Dow going all the way back to, we look left here, to the low that we saw way back in November. We have a similar scenario going on with the S&P, and I'll show you that here in just a second. Let's throw
it's five waves up, Dwayne.
Is that what it is? Is it five?
Yeah. That's the way I look at it on a daily chart, I think.
Okay, here's
starting off of that low.
Okay, look at this, guys, right here. This is what continues to be. I mean, we've got, you hear Michael talk every day as he is doing the recap. You hear him talking about divergence and how we use divergence in a little different way in the live trading room. That's a part of the slingshot trade. But this is divergence. Here, you have prices that are climbing on volume that is declining. Okay. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Yeah, I'd like to see it spring up.
This is the Dow, but we have the exact same thing going on right now in the S&P.
Mm-hmm. That's the daily chart. Yeah, I'd like to see it spring out a little longer, but you know, the Dow the volume on the NYSE is on the New York Exchange has been a bit skewed with the high velocity trading, how do they call it? High frequency trading, that kind of thing. And I guess I don't give it as much, and maybe at the perfectly wrong time, as much weight as I used to. But I do know, I know what you mean here. You want to see volume confirming price.
Sure.
Yeah, especially at all-time highs.
We've got higher prices, but we don't have commitment. And the only reason we mm-hmm. saw the spike that we saw yesterday in volume has to do with all the trades that got executed because of that hacked Twitter account over at the Associated Press.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is just this speaks volumes about volume mm-hmm. and a lack of depth and participation in the market. In other words, we got higher prices, but people aren't buying it. And I'm doing air quotes when I say they're not buying it because they're not buying into it. And so that takes us back to the picture that I put up initially, and that is this right here, guys, this triple top. This is big. This is really big, and this could lead. And I give you numbers on the blog. I go into detail on what numbers you should watch on the downside to determine, you know, any move that we get off of this top. You've got to ask yourself, is this simply a retracement, or does it become a deeper retracement? Does it become a move all of its own? Is it simply a bear leg in a ongoing bull run? You've got to know at what point you're going to, you know, adjust your way of thinking. Now, how much impact does that have on your intraday trading if you're looking to take a couple points out of the market daily income? Well, as long as you're aware of the backdrop against which you're trading, it doesn't really affect the individual trades where you're looking, you know, where you're going after a couple points. But I think it's very important that everyone be aware of it and know that it's going on. And also, yesterday is just another prime example of why you always have to have a hard stop in the market. You just have to. A mental stop is not good. It's not a real stop. And if you refuse to use a hard physical stop in the market, you will ultimately regret it. And
I can hear somebody out there probably arguing with you right now saying, I was long and I got stopped out at, you know, 59 or something like that, just off the low. Mm-hmm. I'll never put a stop in again. So hopefully it's take as a lesson that they don't always come right back.
So. Yeah, no, they don't always come right back. And even, yeah, so you can argue it if you want, but ultimately it will. And there are some high-profile traders who brag about the fact that they don't use a stop, okay? And they'll continue to brag about it until they are blown up and put out of business, and then you just won't hear about them anymore, okay? They'll just kind of fade away into obscurity, and so you're left with the impression, wow, great trader, legendary trader, trader without a stop, I want to be that guy. Well, you know, fast forward the videotape, read the whole book, you know, flip over to the last page and see what really happens. Hey, Mike, I know David would like to say hi to you, and you got to run, so sit tight, and we'll be right back, okay? Don't go away.
Okay.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Mike Reed. Nice to hear from you.
Hello, David. Nice to hear from you.
Michael Bork as well. And good morning to all the listeners as well.
And Robin, good morning to you. Welcome back.
And good morning, Michael, and Dwayne, and David. It's a great day here in Las Vegas.
Hi, Robin.
Ladies and
how
gentlemen,
are you?
Ms. Robin Dane, the trading coach.
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Great. Thanks.
Good to hear you.
Haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I've been wandering around.
Okay.
The desert.
The desert.
Yeah, the desert. Huh? I'm good.
All right, Mike. Well, listen, I know you told me that you had to be prompt and take off at the top of the hour, so you're welcome to hang out and chat with us, but if you got to go, then we'll tip our hat and see you around town.
I'm going to... Yeah, I'll try to drop in on Friday if possible.
All right.
Do my best.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Nice to hear from you, though, Mike.
Okay, nice talking to you guys. Well,
okay, buddy.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
Take care. Bye.
All right. What's going up with the Las Vegas gang? How you guys doing?
Doing real good down here.
We're doing good. It's springtime in Las Vegas. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I just have to say, there's many different kinds of. You know, this is not a subject that men will want to talk about, but it really is something important. Roses, okay? And I'm not talking about roses that you buy for your girlfriends, but rose bushes. And there's many different kinds of those. And many, many years ago, when I got into the house that I'm in right now, I have a relatively small home, and I have a backyard with rose bushes in it. And we picked out a bunch of different rose bushes and planted them. And they turned out to be some of the most amazingly beautiful things I've ever seen. Some roses are more pretty than others. Some are larger. I just happen to have some really beautiful rose bushes. And I just have to say what a wonderful thing it is to have a backyard, to be able to sit in it, relax, and when you open your eyes, you see green grass and rose bushes. That's my it's a beautiful day in Las Vegas.
Well, that's fabulous. They are really blooming around the city really well for some reason this year. I don't know why, but they seem to be just overly abundant this year, and that's great.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. It's fabulous. It's so nice to see color when you're so used to looking at gray.
Well, a lot of people in Las Vegas, for practical purposes, do not have lawns. Mm-hmm. Many of the new places that are being built, they're all done very nicely with desert landscaping.
Yep.
But that means they have plants, and they're green and they look nice, but there's rock around them. But many people just have the straight up rock yard, which is a little disappointing when you're looking down a neighborhood street, and all you see is a large row of homes that have just rocks in the front yard.
I have to say, though, I've never seen such a creative way of doing rocks in my life since I've been
We do have quite a few people that have done well with rocks.
I mean, the colors, and, you know, we pretend that this is a little river with rock, and pretend this is, you know, they really have gotten extremely creative with rock.
No, they have. That's very good. Anyway, so yeah, Dwayne, we have a nice day going here in Las Vegas. We have a lot of very important market movement that's going on in a number of different markets today. But I don't know if there's anything interesting or unusual in the news that you had addressed or have not addressed yet with regard to you know, the response of the markets today and things that are lining up in the markets.
No, anything of any importance. I think we've already covered it. There really isn't much news. Apple reported earnings. They popped on the earnings yesterday and traded up 5% in after hours trading. But then once Tim Cook made his conference call and everyone had an opportunity to digest that, now they're down a little over 1% on the day. And they're such a big company, and they're cash heavy. They're getting ready to give away a lot of that cash to shareholders. But it's going to be hard. Apple is it's not that they're – I don't want anybody to take this wrong. It's not like they're going out of business tomorrow or they're no longer a good company. They're still a great company. They still have an incredible product line. Some of the brightest minds in the world of tech work there. They are building their own campus now, or a new campus that is, according to what I've read, unlike anything anyone has ever seen before in Silicon Valley. It is just absolutely fabulous, and they'll probably be around forever. But they won't be that incredible, cutting-edge, high-flying tech company anymore. Now they're just kind of another, and I don't mean to say this too lightly, but they're just another really successful company. They have great products and they make money. Okay? What more could you ask for? I mean, even the greatest of movie stars, over time, they fade. You know, some age more gracefully than others. Some refuse to allow themselves to age properly, and so they get really bad plastic surgery. And so hopefully what Apple will do is they'll take the success that they have, and with wise management, they will allow themselves to age gracefully, and they won't go in and, you know, take a knife to this thing and try to turn it into something that it probably won't ever be again. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like someone who's starting out in business, a young entrepreneur who is really hungry, man. He's really hungry. And so he works at a pace, at a rate, at a vibration that once he becomes successful, once he has a lot of money in the bank, once he knows he never has to worry about making the mortgage again or putting food on the table, as long as he lives, no matter how much fire he has in his belly and no matter how much he tries to encourage himself and, you know, pep himself up every day, there is something now missing from the equation. And I think that's a little bit of that. We're seeing it in Apple today. The dynamics of they've matured. They've arrived. So, okay, now what will they do with their success? Lord knows there's an awful lot they can do. I mean, there's a million little startups out there waiting to be bought up and turned into the next Apple. And that's really what I think they have to do, is they have to tap into the youth and the vim and the vigor of smaller startups. I think that's where the success of Apple lies, not within Apple itself. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Still
one thing,
$400 stock, you know.
Yeah,
that's still a small thing. Yeah.
One thing I would add is Steve Jobs is a good example of a person who already had made tremendous financial success and did some of his best work after
his tremendous financial success. So I'm not sure that the financial success would necessarily, for everybody, in all cases, take the fire out of their belly, as you were saying, but in many cases it does. In many cases people get comfortable, but sometimes, you know, people continue to do very well. I think in his case, would you not agree with that, Dwayne? I think in his case he did some of his best work long after he had achieved, you know, whatever financial success, you know, he knew he was going to be okay for quite some time. Did he?
Well, here again, we're not talking about the average person. We're talking about a guy who, after he became a multimillionaire, refused to take a bath, would show up to very important board meetings barefoot. I mean, this was a bizarre man. So what you're saying is true. He did steal some really good ideas after he made a lot of money.
He stole them? You're talking about the I can't think of the product you're referring to.
There's a line of them, but the one you're probably referring to is the graphical user interface that he lifted off of Xerox. Mm-hmm. And he defended his actions by simply saying, well, hey, they weren't using it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could at least ask or give him credit, but he didn't. He chose not to do that. But he also chose to reveal all of that before he died. He consciously made it, without making any apologies, he consciously chose to say, all right, guys, this is who I really was. This is what I really did.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his stamp and seal of approval on that biography. Anyone that has not read that, I really encourage you to read it. It's a big book. The audiobook, which you can download for free, I'll put the link in the room. You can download the audiobook courtesy of CFRN. It will take you 27 hours. It's either 24 or 27 hours to listen to the entire biography, but it is, in my opinion, time well spent. It will open your eyes not only to who Steve Jobs was, but it'll also give you some kind of background info on the evolution of Silicon Valley and the computer and the internet and, you know, a lot of the stuff that we today take for granted. It's just a real, real nice piece of work, that book. So,
mm-hmm.
And the guy reading it, you get used to his voice after, you know, a couple chapters. So don't let that turn you off.
Okay, well, if you'd like, Dwayne, we can get right into the markets because have a number of things that are happening in the S&P and so many other markets that we all follow. And with you here, Robin, today,
yes.
Maybe we can take a look at some of the things that you're interested in.
Oh, yes, I know there's one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything new or no?
Yeah, soda. I want to look at soda.
Well, we could right now. We can just jump right on top of that. Ladies first.
Okay. All right. Usually you'd let me go last, but okay.
Well,
I just like the way there was some good action, and I still am amazed at this Twitter leak getting out with such a dramatic message of, you know,
mm-hmm.
the White House and the president. I mean, I just am amazed.
Yeah. You're talking about yesterday's flash.
Yeah. I mean, I just cannot believe that kind of thing can get out there. And if it's that easy and that possible, then you better be putting stops in.
Because,
right. Oh, man, that's not proof to the pudding.
Well, that is. That's the final proof that there are moves in the markets that are going to happen, that are a surprise, even though they're not necessarily going to be based on a Twitter accident. It could be, and we've seen this a number of times. I've seen it probably three or four times, not that far in the recent past, mm-hmm. where somebody types in incorrectly a large block of orders and adds an extra zero. And because that changes the size of the order by magnitude, the market gets spooked and there's a big reversal. So for that and many, many other reasons, the hard stop has to be put there, because yesterday you would have been watching, you know, you being Mr. and Mrs. Mental Stop would have been watching it and seeing, oh, well, that's kind of weird. Well, let's see what that happens. I'll watch it a little more. That's what the Mental Stop guy always says to himself is, let me see what they do now. That's what his next statement always is. Well, let's see what they do now. And before you know it, you're down 20 handles, and you know, you've got a real problem. And ultimately, because of human nature, you end up either jumping out at the worst possible time, which is at the extended low, or something else. You know, you end up hurting yourself.
And it always springs back.
Right. Well, hope springs eternal, but to make money in the market, you have to be the antichrist of hope.
Yeah.
You really do. You cannot live your life on hope in the market.
No.
You can do it in all kinds of other areas of your life. Hope is a wonderful feeling. It's a very positive outlook and so on. But it's death in the market. It really is.
I call it the HWP syndrome, the hope, wish, pray syndrome.
Yeah. It's just, it has no place here. It's better to just trade exactly what you see in front of you.
Yep.
Manage exactly what you see in front of you and profit from exactly what you see in front of you and protect your profits and or take a small loss. Exactly what's in front of you. But once you cross that line into saying it's moved against me and I hope it comes back, you're not only at the mercy of the market, but you're actually at the mercy of a even worse form of what you just did. Because, you know, the rich tend to get richer, the poor again tend to get poorer. People who produce bad habits in their trading produce more bad habits. So what you just did to get yourself in that position, you're about to do that over again to make it even worse. And that's what happens. So human nature, the ordinary day-to-day living of people, how they think, you kind of have to have your hat on backwards to trade the market properly. You can't come to the market with the same kind of outlook that you may be using successfully in other areas. You literally have to know what you're doing and do what you're knowing and do it all the time that way because hope is, it springs eternal and it has no place in the markets. You can certainly say, listen, we have a position on, we certainly hope it works out well, but that's different than saying the position is against me and I hope it comes back. I'm not going to use a stop because I hope they don't go down there and that sort of thing. that's what I'm really referring to.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on SOTA?
Well, I like the fact that it's now staying above the 50. And we took a little peek up there back April 9th or 10th or around 11th. It hit 54.
And
we came back down and it held at the 50 and now we went up again and today it was up fairly well in the morning. It's since pulled back a little bit, but it's I like the way it's looking and they have their earnings coming out on May 8th. So their quarterly earnings are coming out on Wednesday, May 8th, and they're saying that it looks really, really good.
Well, that is great. This market, if it does continue to move higher, SOTA, and if we were to get a monthly close above $54, you would really have a pretty important move on your hands. The next, for me, just as a way that I think about markets, I think the next level of importance is roughly the $61 level. We're at $52 right now, and I would seriously consider trading this if we even started getting weekly closes above $54, and I would only use 61. Excuse me, I would only use 61 as a means to get an initial exit off and see what they can do on the long side. So,
and that 52-week range is at 55.62. So we get really close to that on that last move up, and now we're heading up again. So I just like the way it feels. And I'm anxious to see the earnings. I think the earnings will do well, and all the companies that have been showing strong earnings have had nice moves up.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, well that's good. I don't have anything else to add to it. It just they're looking good. They're attempting to break out off of a monthly top that they put in many months ago, and I think that if they're able to, you will see the $61, $62 level. And that would be an initial place for continued potentially continued movement higher. Initially, I would expect a reaction off those levels, but not one that would take my whole. That wouldn't extract, you know, get me out of the market completely. So, anyway, so let's take a quick look at the S&P. You know, let's go back to the bigger picture. Obviously, well, not so obviously for some people, but for most people, obviously, we're in a runaway bull market. Excuse my throat. We've been in a runaway bull market for quite some time. And we talked on the radio about the week of April 22nd, the current week that we're in right now, being the on-time week for a weekly bottom. And obviously that bottom came early. For those of you who know about reflected wave, you have proof of that being the case. And the rally has now taken the market up to the point where, under normal conditions, we would see a top due on Thursday, which is tomorrow, April 25th, plus or minus a day. Now, having said that, I just want to say that the market, although it has reached some important levels, pit session, we have 77 for in our panel, 79 is in the panel. Both of those levels have been reached today. But to be clear, we don't really think those are super important, those levels. The market's reacting off of them. Normally, and maybe this is a better way of putting it, normally we would see higher prices before this top gets put in, because important turning points occur at important prices. That's a principle I've talked about many times on the program for years, and important prices occur at important turns. So in this particular case, we do not have what we consider to be a really important price in 77 and 79. They're reacting off of it, but in terms of the larger turn, our preference, maybe that's a good way to say it, is our preference would be to see higher prices prior to really getting excited about the short side of this advance off of the 1 week early bottom. So that's our basic take on the market right now. I do want to remind people that when you're in a runaway bull market, you have to be very careful about shorting the market on a, not intraday, because intraday is fine, but on a multi-day basis, because surprises can happen and you can, you know, market can gap through. All kinds of unusual things can happen. Having said that, and we've said that many times, this top that they're putting in will maybe the first multi-day short position that we would be willing to take in quite some time because of the runaway nature of the bull market. So how we handle the price levels and other factors coming into tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th, is important. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll talk about it as we get through tomorrow and into Friday. So that's our take on the S&P right now, and we'll continue to see how they do. Also, if we were today, intraday, able to get to 71, we had a buy limit a little while back. We wanted to buy at or near 71, 72.50, but they just couldn't quite get there by the time we got in. Now they're rallying, so that's a missed entry for an intraday trade. But let's say in the next hour or something, if we were to test that level as successfully, we would consider that potential buying territory for further advance. They're already doing it now. It may have already occurred 1 hour early, because the market, when it's bullish, tends to spend very little time on the pullbacks, and it gets right back down to business. So we'll see. We are about actually 6 minutes away from completing the current hour. So we'll,
71. We tested that this morning when we pulled back. That was our weekly trading zone at 70.71. It tested it yesterday afternoon, early evening, and then we put in that swing high on Globex up at 79, and we pulled back 8 points. We tested the 71, looks like to the tick, I believe. 70.75, we actually ticked one tick inside of the zone here. If we look left, that's been a good support area since just before, well, right after the flash crash yesterday. As soon as that thing reconciled itself, we haven't gone back below this zone, and so it's holding. And we got one more zone overhead, guys. It's up there's a ways. If you're a partner, you have that number, and we expect, based on everything we've seen so far, we expect to see that number before close of business on Friday, and our trigger to get into that trade will be the market moving above 1580. So keep an eye on that. For those of you that are following on the Twitter feed, you've already got that. But just make a little hash mark on your chart, or go ahead if you trade with a stop, if you use a bracket order, this is an opportunity. You got plenty of time to get this order all stratified before it happens. Okay, you don't have to be, because we're sitting now at 75, and we may not trigger. That's a possibility too. Now, we also have a tweet out there to get into this trade on the downside if support fails at 70.71. But it's held now for 24 hours. So we'll see what happens. We might get some kind of a move before the end of the show today, and we may hang out and trade a little bit after the live show today. So stick around if you want to. David, you want to go to gold next?
Sure. Let's take a quick run around the markets here. We have a number. I mean, there's a lot of things happening. Some things I won't go into all the detail with, but I can tell you there's a number of things that are important that are happening. Gold continues to move sideways to lower. We had a few days back, we had a forecast on April 19th for gold to continue higher and test 1437 to 1440, which you could sell short immediately upon them reaching there for a decline. The decline has occurred yesterday, but has not yet reached the target that we really want to see. And today, gold moved higher and tested another important nearby level and is reacting off that on the downside right now. So gold's kind of at a critical juncture here. And, of course, we have our short position is on. We've booked some gains, and we're now holding for the possibility of continued decline. But we are going to use, and we are using, a protective stop on the upside, a real stop, not the kind that gamblers use, which are mental stops. So you want to have that there, because if gold is able to break out, it will on the upside, which would mean that they get back above, the 1440 level that we talked about earlier, the original upside target. If they break out above that, I think substantially higher prices are going to occur. Now, we're not forecasting that they're going to break out, but a breakout in this time frame that we are right now, because there's a lot of important, for lack of a better term, cycles at work here, would be very important, and we would want to trade that. Now, I would consider that trading surprise, because that would be the unusual move. A lot of people would be uncomfortable trading that for various reasons, and surprise tends to run further and faster than most people expect. So we would want to do that. As it is now, we're still short the gold here, and we're a little later today, we're going to move our protective stop down. Moving over to bonds, I don't have anything new to add to that. The bonds had the big move up to 149 from the February bottom at 142. That was the call that we had made, and we don't have any further indication at this time for the bond market. But I do have a few other interesting things. The euro, I can tell you now, because we've just about completed the target, but not quite. We had a forecast on the week of April 8th for the market to move higher and test 132.14 on the week of April 15th. And on the week of April 15th, we got up to 132.08, and that's about six ticks shy of the target, and the market reversed. And because they weren't able to touch it, we inferred weakness in that and forecast that the market would want to go down to at or near 129.40. And today, they got down to 129.59, about 19 ticks above that. I'm not sure that that really totally satisfies the number on a weekly scale. It's really not that big of a miss, but I would prefer to see lower. However, today's market is starting to firm up a little bit, so we continue to hold short for further decline in this market, but we'll see. And again, we're going to utilize our God-given right to manage our risk, and we're going to put that, we have a stop in. We're probably going to move it down a little bit because of today's action. So let's go over to the crude. This is an interesting development in crude. Crude has today broken out on the upside. There may have been a report or something that I think there was a report that came out today, and crude has rallied strongly. I can tell you this, that with this kind of strength, we would not be surprised to see crude advance up to 92.12, something like that, or higher into Friday. In order to do that, I do need to see the market close well, because even though the markets can do well intraday, sometimes near the end of the day, they get back below important levels. And so we'll continue to watch this, but this actually sets itself up for a top as well coming this week as well. In other words, this big advance will set crude up for an important reversal, and we'll talk about that as that occurs as well. So many markets are setting themselves up for important turns this very week as we're sitting right now. That's why it's interesting to see all this. Let's see, a few other quick ones. We don't have a lot. Don't have anything to add to the Australian dollar. We've been watching that, but we don't have anything that we think is high enough probability, and that's all we're really looking for, is the highest probability type of setup. The dollar has been advancing as well, and we think that the dollar is going to put in a top tomorrow as well. That's the on-time day. those of you with reflected wave would know this, that April 25th is an important top in the U.S. dollar index. That's for the June contract, so we'll continue to watch that. I think that's going to turn into and actually, if you look at today's action already, they've already kind of put in what's starting to look like a top, so it's very likely we may have already seen a one-day early top in the U.S. dollar. Let's see, there was a few other markets I wanted to talk about. Soybeans. We do have a continuation move. A few days back, we had a forecast on soybeans for an advance into April 19th for the market to go up and touch 1396, which you could sell immediately upon touching for a 40-cent decline. The market reached a high of $14, and we did get a 40-cent decline, and we're still breaking down even lower today. So we're not touching this just yet, but there is a possibility of a very important reversal in soybeans, depending on how they treat certain levels that they're approaching. But soybeans itself has an April 25th bottom that we think would be important, especially if they're not able to break to new lows here. So today's action, which they're down substantially, is important. How they close today is relatively important. And how they treat tomorrow, I think, is the final thing of importance for this market. We've had a really good, I think for most people they would say that's a stronger than usual decline from the top on the April 19th. We'll trade this as it happens, but look how directional. Go take a look at soybeans and look how directional that move is. And even with that directionality, I would be willing to bet that 90% of the traders would not be able to hold on to a position. In other words, the market's trying to give you all of this gain, and people will, human nature, will find a reason to get out. And you don't have to look very far, do you? Because the reason is that you're afraid of losing the gains that you already have. And that's a very, very common, I don't think anybody can deny that they have that in them, that the fact is that fear is at work in trading. Well, that fear isn't your friend. It will save you sometimes, but you have to come to a point where at some point you're willing to trade the trend if you want, whether the trend's on a one-minute chart, doesn't matter what time frame it's on, or a daily or a weekly chart, and learn to do that. It looks maybe easier. In fact, I would say that it does look easier than it actually is from any perspective, because a person says, God, look how easy after the fact, look how easy it would have been just to hold on to this. But I'm telling you that none of you know anybody that could have held that position. There's very few people. I know big traders, professional traders that trade in large size and so on, and most of them are incapable, even in a directional move such as this, to stay with the position. It's a human nature issue. It's not a junior high school, I can do this and you can't do it. It's just a human nature issue. So again, part of trading the market successfully is recognizing human nature and working to overcome it, or working to not trigger it In other words, to not put yourself in a position where you are forced by your own human nature to get out. But trend following, this is one of the reasons that trend following works well for the people that can do it, is because these kinds of gains accrue. Nobody, you know, there's no kind of day trading that could catch up with a move like this. You know, you're not going to be snipping in and out of this enough to get what all of this is successfully. So that's where the trend follower gets ahead of every other type, not just day trading, but every other type of methodology. However, the trend follower also has one other big problem. He has to learn how to wear his human nature differently, because human nature won't let you stay in a move like that, even though look how easy it is. Look how great that decline has been. But most people can't do it. And so it takes – and when I say most people, I'm including myself in that. I'm not speaking as if I'm a perfectionist on this. But I happen to know, and I'm sure many people listening do, that human nature is one of the biggest issues that you have to overcome. Well past the technique and how to do it and all that stuff, there's a human nature element in all this. So let's move on. We do have a bottom that is due tomorrow. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow we're looking for a bottom in soybeans, and we'll talk about that as well. That's one of the other big important setups here. We do have – there is a trade. If you – you know, I can't give it out right now, but depending on what they do, there's actually a very good trade coming up in soybeans. If you want to, you can take a – you can come over and call up 888-231-4702 and get a trial of our institutional meeting and listen in, because this is a setup that could, depending on how they handle these levels and so on into tomorrow, could be a very useful trade for you. I think you might, since soybeans is $50 per tick, it's a reasonable, you know, it's not too big for many traders to trade in. Let's see, a couple other things. We have also talked about copper putting in a bottom next month, in the month of May, and we may have already seen that bottom. We'll see, and we'll continue watching copper as well. This is a market that is tremendous. It's a big moving market, has a lot of volatility to it. Sometimes it has a lot of surprise to it as well, but I think the kind of bottom that they're putting in here is going to produce a multi-month advance, and this is something that we're going over in our institutional stuff as well to get positioned for a bigger multi move up in this market. So let's see. I think there may be one other. I'm not sure. Let me click through here real quick. I think that may be it for today. But one thing I would like to remind the traders and people that are thinking about trading is that there's really two levels. There's the level of technical expertise. If you're trading off the technical side, learning your indicators or learning your methodology and putting it together and knowing what you know. You know, we've talked about that before. Many people know a bunch, but they don't really know what they know, and it sounds almost silly to say that. But if I had somebody, if you came to me and said, well, I'm interested in trading, and I've talked with people about this before and done it with them, and I say to them, well, what do you actually know? What do you know about the markets? And that's a very important question. That's a very important thing for you to know. Dwayne, am I coming through okay, or are you getting that breaking up sound?
Oh, you sound good.
I hear you just fine.
Okay. So, anyway, the other side is the human nature side, because I'm noticing on my side something that I saw yesterday. Dwayne, when we have this problem where we're hearing the breakup voice, but if you hear me good, that's good. The other thing I was going to say is that the other side of it is that it's the human nature side. And so you kind of have to solve both in order to do well in trading. You have to know the technical side, and you have to also know the other side and work with the other side. You're a human being. You have a mind. You have emotions. They are there. Don't try to act like they're not there. The more you act like they're not there, the more they're there. You literally create monsters by avoiding little bugs. And by avoiding the bug, it turns it into a bigger bug. By avoiding it again, it turns it into a bigger thing, until finally, through sheer avoidance of it, it turns it into a monster. And then you're fighting a complete illusion, and you're not going to do real well fighting illusions in your personal life. So it's much, much better to learn to watch what actually is occurring so that you can see what it actually is, not run from it. It's the resistance to these supposedly bad things that causes you all the grief, not the looking at them. It's the resistance. And many, many years ago, a fellow by the name of Vernon Howard, who was a author and teacher, made a statement which has stayed with me for my whole adult life. And it's just a single statement. I want you to think about it. It goes along these lines, and here it is. Resistance to the disturbance is the disturbance. Resistance to the disturbance is the disturbance. And that may not make a whole lot of sense. Maybe it makes a lot of sense to you right now. But why are we talking about this? Because you're going to go through all kinds of emotions, all kinds of feelings while you're trading and while you're learning, ups and downs and so on. Just remember, the two sides are going to have to be addressed, the technical and the emotional, in order for you to do well. And that's why there's people like Robin Dane. You know, Robin Dane is working with people who are trying to get the second level, the emotional side, the human being side, solved. Because you're going to need to solve that in order to do well, because you're going to have issues that come up, and you're going to have to deal with those. And in some cases, you can fly right over them if you just don't turn them into a big problem in the first place.
And you're so right that when you go into the avoidance part of not addressing it, how it becomes bigger and bigger each time. And I always say, you know, when somebody calls me, it's usually when they're at such an extreme, and they said, you know, why didn't you call me 3 weeks ago when this thing happened? Because they thought they could handle it. And they get so stuck in thinking that they can control it when the reality is they are not controlling it, and they're just not being realistic with what's going on. So they don't get help, and then they wait till it's so broken that it takes, you know, a little bit longer to get straightened out. So when you feel something going off, you know, address it right away. The sooner you address it, the better.
No doubt, no doubt. I mean, one last thing I'll say on this is that in dealing with people and dealing with myself, I mean, seeing what I go through and accepting the feelings that I have and, you know, not trying to say I'm not supposed to feel this way or I shouldn't feel this way, that the second you say I shouldn't, you're doing what every human being does, and it causes nothing but grief. You're already in denial. You're already turning away as if what you're looking at was a monster because you can't see it, and you turn it into a monster, and then you start running. It starts for the small, slow walk, and then before you know it, you're running from these things. And there's no need to run from them, and if you allow yourself the freedom to look at them and see them, they go away and you stay. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you get these problems
faster. You're not alone. You know, everybody goes through this. I think that's one of the biggest misnomers that traders go through, that they're the only ones going through it and there must be something wrong with them. And I have to tell you, every trader goes through this. Every single trade. There is not one trader ever, ever, ever that I have met that hasn't said they hadn't dealt with their emotional side. Ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't exist. You can't.
People get into such a bad state sometimes that literally, and I've made this analogy by speaking, and I spoke to somebody today, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because this is a real subject and it happens with people, and most of us are men and we don't like to talk about emotions and stuff, but these things actually play out. This fellow, unfortunately, is in a, it's almost like he's in a house of mirrors. You know how when you go into an amusement park and you go into the, you remember the old days like Pacific Ocean Park in California, and they had the big place and you walk through the, and it's all you can see is mirrors, and it's really hard to find your way out. Well, he can get out. He can get out of the house of mirrors, but he's going to need help to get out because he's gotten to a point where he's covered up one problem and he's solved it with something, but then the solution stops working, and now he needs to solve that, and then before you know it, he's got seven or eight layers deep, and he's even, believe it or not, forgotten the original problem. He's now trying to solve level three, four, or five, which isn't really solving the original problem. It's solving a fix to a later problem.
So, yeah, and that's a great point. That is so common.
Patch to patch.
There you go.
And you end up in a house of mirrors because you can't find your way out because you never, you can't even remember what the original problem was. My suggestion is if you do feel like you're getting to that point, I really would think it would be wise for you to talk to somebody like Robin, because she's a professional at this. You could also talk to anybody about it, but the fact is that you need to go back and find what the original problem was so that you can blow out all of those levels of fixing the fix of the fix of the fix so that you can immediately solve the problem, and suddenly, poof, you're outside of the house of mirrors, you see what the error was, and you can now, you got wide open space in front of you, you can begin living again. I want to give you one last analogy, and then Robin, I want to hear from you, or Dwayne. imagine you go to the hospital for a I'm going to give you an example of how that feeling, everybody's been through this, but let me just illustrate it. The feeling of wide open space and freedom in front of you that you can have. And here's what happens. Let's say a person goes to the hospital and the doctor says, well, we're going to need to take some tests and so on. And a week later they call you and they say, well, doctor says he'd like to see you. So you come in. Well, the doctor says, listen, you know, we took some tests and unfortunately it looks like you have something seriously wrong with you, and you're probably not going to make it past Christmas. Let's just say it's halfway through the year. You've just been given a death sentence. You're not going to make it halfway through Christmas. So you go home stunned and shocked. You tell your friends and relatives about it, and you begin to prepare for the ending because the doctor's told you that this disease is going to take over. You have no reason not to believe it and so on, and it becomes your mantra every day by the way as well, and that's another human trait, is everything that happens to you becomes a mantra. Anything that becomes an emotional response, instead of getting over it, you just repeat it. You mantra it. You know, the Eastern thing, having a mantra, the people meditating, that becomes your mantra. Somebody tells you that you're overweight, and because you're very sensitive about your weight, every day you wake up and the first thing you start saying to yourself, I'm overweight, I'm overweight, I'm overweight, that's your mantra. That's a very typical response to things. Rather than getting over it, we mantra it. Anyway, so this person, our guy here, the hero of our story, whatever, he is living his life knowing that he's going to be dead by Christmas. And then about 3 weeks later, after going through all the tears and the emotional stuff, the doctor calls up and says, you know what, I'm so sorry, we made a mistake. Actually, there's nothing wrong with you. Everything's just fine. We somehow mixed up the charts, and you can go right along living. Your chart, I actually have your real chart here, you're just fine. You'll probably live to 90. Now, that guy, suddenly, the room is cleared. All of the stuff in front of him just blows out, and he can see and feel those wide open spaces. He can suddenly see eternity. He knows now that he's going to live for a long, long time, and he can do all these things. The reason I gave you that analogy is that same feeling accompanies, that great sense of relief accompanies you anytime you get through a problem for real. When you really have seen through it, you get a tremendous sense of relief because you actually see that there's nothing to fear. It's over. It's gone. It's done. And if you're in a house of mirrors because of trading or because of having emotionally solved one problem, stacking it on another, solving the fix, I would suggest that you give Robin a call because it can be undone. It must be undone. And in many cases, if you don't undo it, later behavior becomes even weirder until finally, you're one of these guys wandering on the street. It literally can happen. You can drive yourself insane, constantly fixing the fix and never really even remembering the original problem. I'm telling you, people get to that point. I've gotten to do it myself. Robin, did you have something you wanted to say about
that? Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that because I think a lot of people get into this place of being stuck and they just don't ask for help thinking it's going to go away. And it just compounds. And the compounding of it, like you say, spills over into another area that now that has to be fixed. And it really does snowball. And fixing it quickly and learning some techniques to catch these things quickly can work through your whole trading career, not just in that particular moment that you're trying to fix. The tools and techniques that I work on specifically handle the problem but also give you some lessons on how to do it in the future if they come up again, because they can come up again too. And they relive, like you say, the pattern comes back and you do it again and again, and you want to really work to not repeat it. And at least acknowledge it when it's there and know that you can fix it quickly is a great relief, and you can get on to your trading. The thing that I have noticed with traders is that they really go into an amazing fog when they have something holding them back. And that fog just prevents them from doing anything in their trading correctly or changing what needs to be fixed in their trading. It really prevents them from moving forward. So staying stuck really keeps you in a place that doesn't help you move forward. And I guess maybe noticing that you're not moving forward and noticing that nothing seems to be changing or you're repeating the same mistakes is really a good indication that you probably have something going on that's blocking you.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, so think about all that. Trading is a wonderful thing, but these problems are going to creep up no matter what you're doing. It's not just in trading, in careers, all kinds of things. Look at all the movie stars that have such tremendously problematic personal lives. They have everything. They have everything the world would want to give them. You know, they have every assurance that they're going to have, income for the rest of their life. They have every assurance that, you know, people are going to adore them and what. But yet, they're emotional wrecks. So if you don't need any further evidence than that. And we don't have to be. And they don't have to be. Don't have to be. But the stakes get higher.
So Lori has a question. What do you do when your emotions get the best of you? Robin, you want to answer that?
Well, it depends on what got the best of you. So you have to really take a look at what triggered it, because whatever's triggering it can trigger it again. Because these are when you have something emotional going on, it is not from your conscious mind that it's happening. It's from something in your past. Whenever anybody acts emotional to anything, it's something that's been linked in your subconscious and so it will kick in automatically. So that's why people get frustrated, because they don't understand why these things are popping up, and yet there it is. And it's their conscious mind is going, wait a second, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about something totally different. But your emotions are coming from things that you've linked to the past. So the first thing would be to ask is, where is this coming from? That's one of the best things. When I was trading in New York and I was trading with all the guys for 3 years, and I went to leave them for 30 days, they kept on saying to me, oh, you're not going to be able to do it without us. You're going to need us calling out the trades in the room. You're going to need us around. And so when I went home and I went to trade for the first time, this is when day trading really first started, I had all of a sudden this apprehension and fear. And I'm going, what the heck am I thinking of? And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I can hear the guys saying to me, you can't do this. So the fear that I had created over 30 days just by them telling me and not really noticing it was that I was fearful of trading because they had put it in my head for that moment in time. And so I said, oh, where's this coming from? So I did a technique to get rid of it, got rid of it, and I was good to go. But I knew what to do. And a lot of traders don't know or have those kind of tools. These are not tools that we're taught every day. And so they don't know what to do. So first thing I would do is ask, where is this coming from? And when you get to that, where is this coming from, then address it. You know, what if that's a fear and you can't seem to let it go, then you might need to call me and let's walk through it and see what the deal is.
Yeah, I would throw in also that, emotions are different than thinking. You know, mm-hmm. You have thought and then you have an emotion. And in the vast majority of cases, what triggers your emotions does not trigger necessarily somebody else's, so it's something very personal to you. And it's something, believe it or not, almost every emotional response is based on, in the end, fear of something. Mm-hmm. And as an example, you might not read it this way, but somebody doesn't give you the credit, subtly or otherwise, doesn't give you credit for some accomplishment that you had, and you get angry because you've made this accomplishment and you think you have that credit coming to you. Now, you might say, what does that have to do with fear? Well, it has to do with fear because you're afraid to live without, you believe the idea that you need to have that person tell you that, or that you're owed it, or that he owes it to you, or whatever it is. So the fear is that you won't get it, and when you don't get it, it gets your emotions get roused up and you get angry. So instead of trying to deal with the emotions, once they're flared up, they're right in front of you, let them wash over you. Don't run from it. But I'll tell you this. If you start slowing your mind down, you'll see that these emotional responses are in many, many cases based upon a wrong idea of who you are in relation to people and the world, a wrong idea of who you are, what's supposed to happen to you, what people should or should not say to you, when in actuality you're free of all of it. But yep. You've tied yourself into this little constricted corner and said this is how things are supposed to be, and when they're not that way, I blow up. So my suggestion would be, along with talking it out with somebody, start to understand that in many cases, what really is happening is that you have a picture in your mind that you've agreed to many years ago unconsciously. You didn't know that you made this agreement. You made an agreement that this is the way things are supposed to be for you, that people are supposed to treat you this way, and that if they don't treat you that way, then you have to therefore you have to respond angrily, and that's because you believe in that idea. Somewhere along the way, you agree to that idea. The trick is catching these little thieves, these little ideas that have been unconsciously accepted, running through your mind throughout the day, and just, I'm telling you, just catching them alone, seeing them, there's that idea that somebody should treat me better or should appreciate me more. Don't do anything with it. Just see if you can catch it. Everyone wants to do something. Just see if you can, the doing is the seeing. Just catch it. And that mere catching it makes a tremendous difference. For the first time, you may have seen, hey, I never saw that. There it is. There it is, that idea that I unconsciously accepted, that somebody needs to appreciate me more. And if they don't, since I believe 100% in that idea, it makes me angry. So don't try to solve your emotional problem. Go find the original source of it, which is these thoughts and feelings. And you carry them with you all day long. How big of a problem can it be, since they're with you all day, for you to see them? And all you have to do is turn your attention, instead of completely outward, start watching what goes through your mind, and you'll see some of these popping up. And before you know it, you start to become free of them just because you can see them. Yep. Seeing of them is the freeing from them. You don't have to solve it with some Freudian thing. You have to see that they're just a wrong idea that you attached yourself to, and you just simply unhook the chain, and suddenly before you know it, it doesn't bother you anymore. I'm going to tell you one last thing. You're already free of every problem you have right now. You just haven't seen that to be the fact. You believe in the ideas that you have about life and about people and about you. You believe in them unconsciously. You don't even know what beliefs you have. And when things happen in life, you flare up because they don't go along. I'm telling you, you're free of all of it. Even right now, you just don't actually know it. And the purpose of seeing these things is so you can see one by one, hey, I'm already free of this. This is just an idea. I see it running through my mind right now. There it is, trying to tell me and instruct me how to act and how to think. There's no greater dictator than your own unconscious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And so that alone should make you want to take a look at what's going on in your own mind. And all you have to do that, there's no special class, there's no special tickets that you have to buy, there's no special drug you have to take, there's no mantra you have to repeat, there's nothing you have to do except start watching what happens through your mind as you're talking to people, as people are talking to you, as you're going through your in the line. And if you see that somebody walks in front of you and you go, oh, I see that I got very upset, don't criticize that. All you're there to do is to actually see what really is there. Everyone's so fast, they want to go, oh, no, I shouldn't do that. Or a sex thought goes through your mind at an inappropriate place. Oh, no, I shouldn't do that. No, just see it for the first time in your life. Stop oh-knowing your life and just see it. Stop oh-knowing yourself, because that keeps you, keeps those thoughts away, keeps the unconscious stuff going. See it, and you will be free of it just through the act of seeing it. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really powerful is that these thoughts that you have may not be based from something that's real. That's the weird part about it, is that they don't have to be based on something that really happened, or they can be just based on the fact that you generated that thought and that thought became so powerful that became reality. And so,
right. Even if something did happen. Hold on to it and turn it into a big thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Anyway,
here's the thing. Question was asked about emotions, all of that is really sound advice, but someone who is sitting at their desk who has blown up their account and has real tears rolling down their cheeks, they're probably sitting there right now going, you know, guys, I appreciate that, but I'm pretty sure that this is not a figment of my imagination.
Oh, that's for sure.
I'm pretty sure that I really did, in real time, make a trade that did not go in my favor, and that was the one that broke the camel's back, and now what am I going to do? That's that's beyond, I mean, it's nice to be able to sit from this, you know, place of power as a, trying to think the guy that wrote Teachings of Don Juan. What was his name?
Castaneda.
It's nice to be able to take the Carlos Castaneda approach to things, you know, when you have some spare time, a desert and a little peyote you're not using. But in the real world, people are, you know, filled with emotions that are, you know, that stem from reality, from what just happened. And so to that person, what I have to say is you have to figure out how you, the individual, are going to separate yourself from your emotions. Now, we always talk about you got to take the emotions out of trading. It's got to be cold and calculated, and it's a business decision, and it's not about being right or wrong. And we say all of these things, but I realize that that in itself does not take away the feeling.
Yeah, that's true.
You as an individual, you have to reckon, and you know what? For some people, okay, the ability to separate themselves emotionally from their trading, it is beyond their skill set at the moment. Not saying that you can't work at it, learn how to do it, become very good at it, and someday teach others how to do it. But it doesn't come easily to everyone. If you have a large trading account, it's very easy to distance yourself from any emotions that you might feel about trading. Actually, if you have a large trading account and you have a good day, it's very easy to experience that emotion and to feel really good and, oh man, I got it figured out. I'm nailing it. I'm killing the market, blah, blah. But then when a bad day comes along and you get whacked, well, you just sweep that under the carpet. You don't really deal with that. You don't process that because, well, quite frankly, you don't have to because you got a bunch of money in your trading account and you're retired and you get $3,000 a month in the mail without even getting up and going to work. So, you know, not a big deal. And it's easy for that person to tell the other person, hey, man, don't get all caught up in it, you know. But that other person is saying, hey, but wait a minute. You know, this is my job. This is what I do. This is how I earn a living. I put food on my table. I pay my bills. I, just as some people choose to become a bricklayer, I've chosen to become a trader. Now, these are two very different professions, and the approach to learning and becoming skilled at them is also uniquely different. And so we could sway way off course here because this is a very deep, deep, deep subject. But to anyone who is struggling today with their emotions in regards to their trading, the last thing I want to do is to tell you it's a figment of your imagination and that you should just get over it. I'll suggest that you grab a free copy of Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas, download the free audio book using the link that I put into the chat room today. You can choose from Trading in the Zone or the Steve Jobs biography. You only get one, but you can choose one. If you're having issues with your emotions, read Trading in the Zone. It gives you a really good blueprint for separating yourself from your emotions. You're still going to have to work at it. And if by nature you're just a very emotional type of person, well, you're going to have to work at it more so than the person who is a cold fish, okay? You know, if ice water runs through your veins naturally, then you won't have such a big, it won't be such a big journey for you to learn to get away from your emotions. But if you're not that person, it's going to take work. You're going to have to address it. Running from it will never fix it. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I don't mean to come across that I have all the answers for everything, but this is my specialty, and this is the thing that I've focused all of my energy on in trading. Most of the techniques and, well, a lot of the techniques, especially in the beginning when I was fine-tuning them, came up because I went through it. And, you know, I saw it happen in the trading room. And then, you know, I had to come out of it myself somehow. And so I had to create something. And if the first thing didn't work, I would work on it till I found something that did work. And when traders get stuck, I keep going until they get what they need to get resolved. And so a lot of technique comes out of when I work with somebody to make sure that they're okay. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, I have my coaching session is supposed to last 30 minutes, but they never do, because I won't let a trader just stay there stuck. You know, I'll keep working with them until we get resolved what we have to in that moment to get on to the next place. So I totally get where you're coming from, and you won't find anybody more sympathetic than me for what you're going through, because I hear it every day. And again, my goal is to make sure that people come out of it and not stay stuck in it. So the techniques that I have are, you know, they work. You know, there are things that have worked over the years. And if I come against something new, which is kind of rare at this point, but, you know, I'm not going to say I know everything, but on occasion, you know, I'll come up with something a little bit different, it's a little twist on it, or somebody's really, really stuck, and we try a new technique, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's something else that we figured out, or a new technique that came out of just resolving one that was a challenge. So I go until, and when I say I go until we have a resolution with that particular trader, because I cannot stand seeing a trader stuck or being in that kind of pain where it's painful for them to trade. I really hate to see that. So I work very hard at becoming a partner with you when we do coaching. So if you get really stuck, and I don't mind talking to people on the phone, you know, for a little bit of time if they're stuck, and you know, we decide coaching's not for them, that's okay too. I mean, if you call, I don't open up my phone lines for just everybody to call me with their problems. That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying that I'm willing to talk to you and at least give you a little bit of guidance to begin with, at least so you feel like you're not alone. I'm happy to do that. So, you know, if you do get stuck, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's perfectly okay.
Very good. Thanks very much, Robin. David, there was a request if you are familiar with the company BDSI, Bio Delivery Sciences. I've got the chart up on the screen.
Okay, BDSI. Let's take a look at it. Well, let's take a quick look at this. They've had a tremendous run here just in the last 2 months. I'm not sure if there's a specific question or they just want us to take a look and see what we think.
Just wanted to know what your thoughts were. It's up above the 200-day moving average. There was the 50 got below the 200. There was the quote-unquote death cross, and it played out pretty well in this instance. Price came down, pulled back up, tagged the 200, and then really put in that drop from 460 down to, it's like about, what was it, $18? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, $1.80.
Dollar.
That's
80 cents.
Bad.
80 cents.
Yeah.
I think.
Was that so gap now, on news? Was that gap on news? That the one right there?
Could be. Oh, the question is I'm long the stock and want to know if I should take profit.
From where? Where's the long?
Where'd you get long at? What was your average entry price?
I'm not sure where he gets long is any issue at all. It's whether or not it's you know, this thing is running into something right now. Whether he's long from 80 cents or from a little while ago, we wouldn't want to be sitting through any big pullback and so on. I can say a few things that I think would be important. Number one, the stock's at $5.41. This month, the month of April, is a very important, because this month has moved above $5.10, which is for this stock, I think, an important level. If they close the week above, or the month above $5.10, I think that's an important bullish sign for this stock. And I don't think there's anything immediate in front of us right now, above us right now, that screams that you should be out of this stock. I don't think there's a profit-taking spot here that you're staring at right now. I think the fact that they're above 510, and if they close above 510, I would consider continuing to hold if I were in this stock. Now, if you're trying to day trade it or just multi-day trade it or something, and that's too broad for you, you know, we could drill down and find something. But I think from my perspective, I like the idea of staying long, to be honest. I don't see any reason not to stay long here, especially with a monthly close in April, which means next week, above $5.10. I would want to remain long on this. That would be my outlook for short term, anyway. Yeah. So hope that's helpful. One other thing I was going to mention. I don't know if I read this right from what you said, Dwayne, but it sounded like you were maybe alluding to the fact that there's an imaginary side to life, and the real side of life is when you're sitting in front of your screen when you've lost some money. I would counter that, and you actually have a real problem. Real problems stem. What we call real problems are the result of a whole bunch of imaginary things that we have constrained ourselves with that led up to that instant moment that you're referring to, that moment when the person is, you know, hurting because they lost money in the account and so on and so on. That is a result. That's not an original cause. That's a result of all these things that people do. You get yourself into these positions that, yes, they hurt, but they can be solved when it's just like, you know, if I look down on the floor and I see what I think is a snake in my bedroom, I'm going to go through all kinds of jumping around and moves to fix it. But as soon as I turn the light on and see that it's really just a piece of rope, all of my problems with the snake disappear, don't they? All of those problems with what I should do about the snake completely vanish, because there really isn't a snake. It's a piece of rope. And so the person who, yes, has crashed and burned and is sitting in front of their pit, that's real, but it's a result of a whole bunch of snakes that were really ropes that got them to that point. And so that's why it's very important for you to watch your mind, because, yes, it does determine the outcome of your own actions. You will act differently, think differently, believe differently when you've seen through the snake and the rope in your own mind. And you won't end up in that crash position in the first place. One other thing is that a very typical thing that everybody does is they say, well, I'm hurting, what can I do? Everyone's first response when they're hurting is, how do I stop hurting? That isn't the real question. The real question is what got me here? The stopping of the hurting will take care of itself when you understand how you got there. And so that's one of the reasons why watching your own mind is very important, because you start seeing the bits and pieces that lead you down the road that ends you up in that same position. How many people do you know that always get in the same trouble over and over again? They always have the same fights with their spouse, or they always have the same problem financially. They're always in some kind of a problem. It's the same mechanism repeating over and over again. They can't see it. Yes, they hurt at the end of it, but it's a result of them not seeing the snake, the rope looking like a snake. So I just want to mention that. Life may appear very real to you, but a whole bunch of imaginary things led you to that spot. And when you clear those imaginary things up, you don't end up at that spot. You end up at different spots, better spots. Check it out for yourself. I think you'll find that to be the case. Just saying.
Again, to anyone who is hurting, I don't want to tell you it's all about a snake that you imagined. I recognize your pain as being real, and that you will have to work through it, and you will have to find a resolution. So, if someone's child is tragically killed in an accident, I don't know how many invisible snakes there are.
You're mixing levels, though. You're mixing levels, Dwayne. You're mixing levels there.
No, I'm not.
The child's death is not a result of somebody's imagination. A person,
no, and neither is your trading account being decimated or you not being able to pay your mortgage. The sheriff really will come and put a sign up on your door and really will put you and your children out on the street. That really will happen in the real world.
Yeah, but that can be a result. That itself is merely a result. That didn't just come out of the air by itself. Those results are there because of a bunch of decisions and a bunch of imaginations fostering
action. You bought a course. You went to a seminar. You did all kinds of things. You stayed up late. You looked at charts. You drew trend lines. You did a lot of different things, and then you end up in this bad place. Okay, but it's a very real place that you ended up in, and most people are probably consciously aware of how they got there. Wherever we are in life, it's the result of a series of decisions that we've made, good and bad. The question I think that the listener was trying to get answered is, now that I'm here, how do I deal with it? I think that's
fair enough.
The question.
Fair enough.
And again, I would say attack it head on. Don't ignore it. It goes away faster if you look at it and say, okay, what should I – coach yourself. What should I have done? What should I have done better? What will I do next time? What could I do? What's my backup plan? Any of those things. And if you're really stuck, give me a call and let me at least have a conversation with you. So, you know, again, we don't want to leave you there. We don't want you to be stuck. We want to give you some kind of solutions and give you a way to go forward. That's the whole goal of our group in general, is to help you move forward.
Indeed it is.
May I Fair give enough. You some quotes?
Absolutely. We'd love it.
Okay. This topic is remembering friends, neighbors, and family. If a friend is in trouble, don't annoy him by asking if there's anything you can do. Think up something appropriate and do it. Edgar Howe. You leave home to seek your fortune, and then when you get it, you go home and share it with your family. That's Anita Baker. A man is selfish for not pursuing his own good, but for neglecting his neighbors. And that's Richard Whatley. And then I have a golfer's joke for the day. Golfer said, Tom and Hank went to the bar, and Hank said, you know, I just got kicked off the course for breaking 60. And he looked at him, and Tom said, well, that's amazing, breaking 60. That's incredible. And Hawk said, yeah. He says, I never knew the golf cart could go that fast.
Yeah, that's funny. All right.
Well, Dwayne, okay, as we've been speaking, the S&P's moving up here. We probably are going to be seeing higher prices. I hope we do, as we talked about earlier. I hope we do see higher prices into tomorrow. If we do, we'll have, especially if we get up into the 80s, which is not that far from here, I think we'll be in much better position to take advantage of any top that forms here. Anyway, thank you for the question. Thank you for listening, at least to my version of the answer for today. And, Dwayne, do you have the guest on tomorrow? Did you say you had
Rob.
Oh, Rob. Rob is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Rob was going to call in today. I'm not sure what happened to him. Oh. I'll have to shoot him a text, see what happened. If he was going to call in today, I forgot about it. Maybe I just forgot to text him. Anyway, yeah, we'll have him or somebody on tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you for having me on. Everybody, I'll see you guys. Thanks for the questions. Robin, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Right, have a great day.
Okay, see you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you.
With all right, guys, that's 2 hours in. 17 minutes and 12 seconds of the very stuff that made us famous. So glad you could be a part of it today. All right, what do you want to talk about? All right, let's get down to business. What's on your chest? You got questions. I feel it. I sense it. It's in the air. Go ahead. Spit it out. It's okay. There's much love here for you. By the way, we're recording video now of the radio show, so I guess we're like TV. We've crossed over to the dark side of TV. We got radio, we got TV. What next? Maybe a stage play. Would you like to play a part? All right. Price is at $15.77 and change on the S&P 500 E-mini futures, creeping up on this $15.80, which would be a bigger picture trigger for us that might send us north to our final weekly trading zone. If you remember, oh, thanks, Don. If you remember, week before last, we got above the highest weekly trading zone on Friday, and then before the close of business, we got right back inside where we're supposed to be. Last week, we traded below the lowest weekly trading zone midweek, and then popped right back up into the range where we should be for close of business. Go to robindane.com. You're asking for the phone number. Here, let me just pull it up for you. I got it right here. Let's see. If you're still there, Robin, you can pipe in. I think she really was leaving. But hang on, I'll put her number out there for you. Let the page load. But her website, guys, it's Robyn Dayne, DAYNE.com. And let me give you her contact info. I'm going to put it in the chat box, guys. For those of you listening after the fact to the, oh, that's right. Because, well, if you're listening to the podcast and not watching the video podcast, Robin's phone number, business number, 702-616-3744. 702-616-3744. And let me hit send to all. All right, there you go. It's in the chat box. Okay. Let's take a look. S&P. Yeah, see, the green line has already worked its way up into the cycle here, so I don't see a trade setting up there. Now, I suppose it would be redundant, since I'm already recording the video of this program, it would probably be somewhat redundant if I also recorded an individual trade. The video file gets so large, though, it's unwieldy to attempt to edit it to pull out just the trade, because that would be the ideal thing to do, to just go back to the video of the radio broadcast, peel out the trade, and create a separate video of that. For now, I'll just launch Camtasia on this machine, and if we have a trade set up, we'll just make that video in real time. We haven't made one now. It's been well over a week, so we're due to make another one. If you're watching the market, right now, and you are a partner, and you've got your 4-tick range chart up and your slingshot up, if you see a setup in any market, point it out. We'll go there, and we'll see about putting on a trade. The S&P, we just don't have the divergence right now. But take a look at gold. Take a look at copper. Take a look at crude, the yen, the euro, all the stuff we normally trade, NASDAQ, Russell, everything we normally trade in the live trading room. If you see it setting up, I'll go ahead and just pull it up here. Okay, let's see. I got some stuff in the chat box. Dwayne, where would you put the ES stop if 1580 is triggered? Hang on, Frank, and we'll go take a look at that. That's a great question. Thank you very much for that comment. I'm just going to read part of the comment. Many bad things happen that are not a result of some subconscious action. I've experienced such things far too many times. I fell for the NLP thing, only discover there was never any psychological issue at all, just life's curveballs. That's pretty well said. Sometimes, you know, that's just life. Life is, you know, life's not fair. Life's not easy. Now, does your mental approach to life have a huge effect on how it plays out? Yes. If you have a good attitude, then nothing seems to bother you. Well, but you get into the whole which came first, the chicken or the egg. I mean, there and... You know, as much as we want to be in control of it, sometimes it feels as though it's out of our control. I call it biorhythms, or I don't know. I don't have the right term to hang on it. But I know that there are certain days in my life, you could hand me any measure of bad news, and I just take it in stride. Well, you know, doggone it, that's not good. But let's figure out a solution. Let's fix that thing. Other days, you stub your toe, and goodness gracious, it feels as though it were the end of the world. Right? Am I right? Some days you're dancing on top of your desk. Other days you're curled up fetal underneath it. And often, for no apparent reason, it just happens. So, is that the nature of the beast? Is that the human condition? Is it biorhythms? I haven't heard that, I don't think, since the 80s, that term. That was all the rage for a while. But I think what you just said, life's curveballs, I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. You never know when life's going to throw you a curveball, when the next time the phone rings, it could be anything. Our life literally can change with the next phone call. And we all, I think, are aware of that on some level, but I think it's very important. Guys, I'm putting out another email address for Robin. She said that's a better one to use, rdcoach22@yahoo.com. Great post there, Lori. If we keep our mind renewed in God's word, it helps with our perspective. It does. And that's really, I think, there's a wealth of depth in what you just said. If we keep this perspective that everything that happens in this life is temporary, okay? Now, granted, it may feel like forever, but it's not. Forever is a really long time, and we're all going to step into forever someday. Some would argue we've already stepped into it. Okay, but we have a temporary view of our eternal condition right now. Whatever we're going through now, good or bad, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. Now, that's a comfort we have as a believer. If you're not a believer, you don't have that comfort. And so for you, it's a very different issue, and that's something that you will still need to work through to reconcile and to sort out. However, you know, I can tell you how I've reconciled and sorted that out. I'm not going to preach right now. I could, but I won't. I don't think you want me to. Unto all things, there is a season, and the good word for the day is supposed to come at the beginning of the show. But still, I don't preach, okay? There, now, CFRN has 22 hours of great preaching 7 days a week, 24 hours a day on Saturday and Sunday. But Monday through Friday, there's 22 hours a day of some really great teaching and preaching. If you ever need to be encouraged, pick up a computer, a cell phone, a tablet, and go to CFRN.net, or on your smartphone, go to TuneIn Radio, flip that dial over to CFRN. You can listen as you're driving down the road. But thank you for that, Lori. That was very good. Robin, thanks for sharing your phone number and your email address. Let's go look at this trade. I think I got Camtasia loaded up. There it is. Okay, let's get this out of the way and this out of the way. Let's move them over here. And we'll go to record screen. Okay, anybody got anything setting up? Let me know, and so we'll go take a look at it. If we don't have anything setting up, then we'll call it a day and move on with our lives. This, the S&P, see here, I would want the green line to be down here. If it had just come down a little farther, okay, before it hooked up. Now, we might still get that. You know, if we pull back, as we pull back into the BBC here, this thing just might lay down and then hook up. If it does, I'll take that trade. Because we would then have some true bullish divergence. We've got the bullish cross, price pulled away, price pulled back. You know, a trade back here. Did we have? No, back here on this one, we did not have the divergence. Really hasn't been good divergence. One might have argued divergence right here. I don't know that I would have taken that trade. Let me fire up the recorder in case we do spot something. Good afternoon. This is Dwayne. You are watching the live radio program. We're broadcasting with two cameras right now, both the radio program and this trade setup, if we get one. Today is Wednesday, the 24th day of April, 2013, and the time now, 11:29 a.m., Pacific time. We have not found a market to trade yet. We were trying to see if we could get a setup here in the S&P. Bigger picture on the S&P, we're hoping to see 1580 broken to the upside. If it's broken to the upside, we have a weekly trading zone that's a little bit higher up, and then that's it for the week. We got one more zone, and we're done on the upside. I believe David mentioned that with his work, he's looking for a top tomorrow, which is plus or minus one day, so that could be today, it could be Friday, but that would tie in with what we've got if we do make that run up. Now, we traded above yesterday afternoon our zone at 7071, and overnight it served as support here and as support here. And that's kind of what we're launching off of. Really kind of a quiet day. Given the average true range that we've had over the last few days, you take a look at yesterday and forget it. Don't even think about the flash crash. Just look at the swing low, which was down here at 48. And even the swing high before the crash, 74. 48 to 74. That's a big day in the S&P. Of late, you know, there was a time when that was an ordinary sort of a day. All right, let's go back to the four tick range. Do we have anything? Yeah, not crazy about that. What about the 6J? There was a question on the 6J. Oh, sorry, I didn't get around to that question about the double bottom. Jerry asks about crude. Well, we can certainly take a look at it. That's what we are looking at. But we're in the month of, merry old month of June now, I believe. So let's change that. Okay. This does not look conducive here. See, we just got that little bearish cross right there. Now, we did print dynamic support. So this may end up turning into a move to the upside, but based on the criteria for the slingshot trade for the four tick range, we don't have anything. So I guess since nobody's pointing anything out, let's just walk through them one at a time. See if we see anything. Six E. Okay. This could become a trade. Going to take a little while for it to set up. We have the bullish divergence, which is the cycle at the top, the green line at the bottom, the bullish cross, okay, which we need. Price pulled away from the BBC. We now need it to pull back. Here's the thing. If it pulls back right here, we're going to be trading into a little bit of a double top right there. But that's okay. If we get the trade, I'm okay with taking it. I don't think I have EMD. I don't believe. EMD. Do I have the mid-cap 400? It says I do. Let's take a look. EMD. No trade set up there. What sort of volume does this thing have? Is it liquid enough to trade? So far, there's been 48 contracts traded today. Yeah, that's not – is that even possible? Now there's been 53 contracts traded. Oh, that's in the past. Oh, that's just in that candle. We need to go to a daily chart. No wonder that looked a little skewed. Let's go to a daily chart and look at that. Boy, I wanted to save that picture. Well, I can redraw it. Let's take a look at the daily volume on EMD. Nah, this will make more sense. Okay, it's still light on volume. There's 14,000 contracts. Now, that's probably sufficient for most people, depending upon how many. Let's see what the depth is like. Pull up a DOM. Jim asked, Dwayne, does your ATR include overnight? It does. All my charts are Globex, with the exception of the sentiment indicator, which I don't have up and running right now. But if you guys have not watched that video, if you're a partner, you have the sentiment indicator tool. You really should be using it. You should be running it on a chart somewhere. Okay, there's 11, 10, 14, 17. Here, let's just sum them up. Auto sum, the bid and the ask. Okay. So there's 83 contracts on the bid side spread out over like 10 positions, 10 levels, and 87. Okay. So the average daily volume in this thing, on a big day, there's 32. Yesterday, there was 21. Monday, there was 16. Friday, there was 21. So that's kind of light volume. But again, if you're only trading, you know, a few contracts, well, let's bring that back up again. If you're trading more than 9, you're guaranteed slippage. If you're trying to sell more than 3, you're guaranteed slippage. So I would just be careful on this one, guys, based purely upon the liquidity issue. In fact, with 6 showing, now, just to give you an idea, okay, look at these numbers, 180, 9, and 10. Let's close that down, and let's go to the Dow. Let's go to the YM and look at the same thing here. We've got 108,000 so far today. 181,000 so far today. Let's look at the DOM. Okay, we've got 750 on the bid, 750 on the ask. The first position has 20 and 18. Now it flashes. You can see 2 and 3 flash. Those are retail traders in and out. 44, 36. See, I'm much more comfortable with the liquidity of the Dow. I don't personally know anyone trading the EMD in a live account, but I'll look into it. You know, if it's something that we can put to use for the partners, I'm certainly not opposed to that. So, Jim, I answered your question on the ATR. Just pull that up again. Average true range on the Globex session, 21 points, 21.7. That's with a default look-back period of 14. Yeah, it might be jittery, but if there's no liquidity, what good is it? I mean, if you get slipped on your position, the question is whether it's actually tradable or not in the real world in a live account. With 13, 14,000 contracts, I would almost be afraid of getting stuck in a position. You know, at least with the Dow and the S&P, if a trade starts to go south on you, you can always get out. There's always somebody willing to take the other side of the trade. Okay, Jeanette was pointing out, EMD, did I say EMS? EMD. Jeanette was just pointing out that on the euro, where did that go? On the 6E, Jeanette's pointing out that we've got a weekly trading zone here. Up here at 130.30, okay. All right, so we've got a weekly trading zone up here at 130.30. And we have that little double top. And if we pulled back to the BBC and got an entry, we'd be at 20 and change. That would not leave a lot of room to run now, would it? No. No, it wouldn't. Okay, anybody else see anything else that's in the process of setting up? Jim's question, what are your favorite indicators for long-term trades? Everything that's in the CFRN toolbox. And basically price action. When I send out a tweet, all I'm looking at, Jim, is price. Price and the weekly trading zones, and of course I'm looking left. When I send out a bigger picture trade, I'm not using any indicator at all. Okay, Michael says the NQ is setting up. Let's go look at that. NQ, let's see what we can find. Oh, I had said I would tweet out the next trade from Simple as well. The NQ, okay, this could work out if the green line will drop down on this pullback. We've got the cycle is blue and at the top. We had our bullish cross way back here. Jack, are you asking, do the CFRN indicators work on weekly and monthly charts? Is that your question? Yeah, you can put them on any time frame. You can go with the four tick range, or you can go out to daily, weekly, monthly. Okay, we are getting a pullback. The cycle indicator did go red, but that's okay. For a long trade, I'd prefer that it stayed blue. In fact, I'm not even going to put a trend line right there. You just wait. Now that is the swing high. I'm thinking out loud now, so just ignore me. I do that. Let's see what happens. We'll be trading right up against that swing high. Go back and look at the ES. Okay. See this 1580. Overnight, the highs, the swing high overnight was 59. So we're at 77. So we're 2 points away from running into resistance on the S&P. This swing high right here was 77. This swing high, we added 2 points to 79, but then look, for 4 hours, we tried to break through that resistance and we couldn't do it. So we came back to the weekly zone, gathered some reinforcements, took a little rest, got some fresh energy, and now we're making another run. Okay. Question is can we break that top right there? Go back to the NQ. Okay, we got the pullback, got the divergence. Now, the way this is positioned, it'll take two candles. We'll be trading against the high of the day. Actually, yeah, because the cycle went red, we do need to close above the trend line. Oh, I had the chat box out there with the video running. Now let me scroll through and see if anybody said anything that they don't want shared. I had to go blur that thing out. Man, I wish I hadn't forgot that. You know what? Since we haven't traded anything yet, well, now we're about to though. Okay, the low of this candle is 36 and a quarter. So it's going to be 37 and a quarter. Well, let's see. I got an order there at 36.75. We're going to get filled or not? Yep, we got filled. Okay. So we're filled on that order. We got our stop loss down here at 28.34.75. The stop loss was automatically placed for us by the Dom. Okay. It's a bracket trade. We don't have a target out here because we bought. We got to get in a order to sell. Let's see, we want to look for about $100 on this trade. So that's going to put us at 28.41.75. Okay, our entry was 28.36.75. Our stop loss was 28.34.75. My goal will be to break the high of the day here, this little swing high that we just put in, 28.38, get above that so that I can move my stop loss up to break even plus one tick. That plus one tick covers the commissions, equates a free look at the market. Okay, if we can just get a couple ticks more, I just want to see that break up there. Okay, we're back tagging our entry and the black line and the BBC. I'd really prefer not to close below that. We only risk 8 ticks on the trade. That's it. Every slingshot trade we ever take. Now, see what's happened here? We already worked our way up into the cycle. The green line already worked its way up. So that's going to not bode well for this trade. We're in it, and we'll see it through. Okay, once we, if we go back up here to tag this high of the day at 38, I'm going to be very quick to get this stop to break even plus a tick. I want to see how the ES is faring real quick. Okay, swing high so far, 77.75, and we know that the previous swing high is 79. So that's a force overhead to be reckoned with. This here is not conducive to our trade. That little window of opportunity I had earlier to get my stop to break even plus a tick, I did not take advantage of it. I could have. I was waiting for just a couple more ticks to the upside. What's the worst that can happen? We get stopped out on the trade for 8 ticks. That happens. That is the truth about trading. So let's just wait and see what happens. Dwayne G says we got divergence still looking good on the 10K chart. Well, hey, you know, I'll take anything I can get right now. Appreciate it. He says, never mind. I was on the wrong market. That's okay. Still good to hear. So if the S&P moves up and the Dow moves up, the NASDAQ just might move along with them. Well, we've talked about this in previous of these little video sessions, that as the trade, once a trade is not, you know, it's got to be part of your business plan, part of your trading plan. Once the trade starts to not play out the way you had pictured, things change, And I don't mean your imagination. I mean physically on the chart, you know, things change. You can always scratch out of the trade. Okay, you don't always have to allow your hard stop to be hit. Now, that's something I learned from Mike Reed. I always believe in giving credit where credit's due. The first few times I watched him trade, he did that a lot. He scratched out of, and I saw him scratch out of a lot of trades that ultimately went on to be profitable trades if he'd have just stayed in the doggone thing. But I was there to learn from him. I was not there to teach him, okay? And so I embraced after a while that that was his style. And he was certainly aware that there were trades that if he had stayed in, they would have been profitable. But over the long haul, by him being quick to act, that's what he's built into his business plan, his trading plan. And if he doesn't get almost instant gratification from a trade, he knows ahead of time before he gets into the trade, if it doesn't give him instant gratification, he's going to scratch out. He's going to minimize the loss or the potential loss. And that's something you need to give thought to as you write your plan. If you haven't written your plan yet, if you're still working on it, how am I going to handle that? You know, if something changes on the chart like this, am I going to scratch out? If a certain amount of time goes by, am I going to scratch out? Define some parameters and then stick to those parameters. Just remember that whatever it is you write down, it's got to be something that you not only will live with but can live with. You know, can you move that quick? Can you do the things you're dictating to yourself that you're going to do? Because at the end of the day, even if your P&L is red, if you know you did everything according to plan and you know that you have a good plan, then it's a blip on the radar screen and you are anxious for tomorrow. Okay? It's when you don't have a plan or you fail to follow your plan that you get that kind of queasy feeling, even on a good day. Because even on a good day, you might have made, you know, some money, but you know you broke a few rules or you lucked into a trade. You know, you meant to go short and you accidentally went long and then it went in your favor. Yeah, it's money, but you don't feel good about it. You know the chance of being able to repeat that is slim. And really that's what it's all about is consistency is, you know, whatever it is that you do, can you repeat that again and again? Is there truly a high probability to what you're doing or not? Okay, this trade desperately wants to stop us out. We got down to dynamic support, and it looks like we're going to break dynamic support, and there we go. We took our 8 ticks, and we just keep on ticking. There we go. Okay, so 8 ticks out on the NQ. What might we have done different? Nothing. Could we have scratched out once the remember I said up here that the cycle red and hooking down, not a big fan of that, but it qualified enough that we could take the trade. If I were sitting here by myself alone, would my decision have potentially been different? Yeah. I just want to go through a couple trades with you guys. So here we've got dynamic support. Okay. If this becomes broken dynamic support, I really like those trades. I know you've heard me say that before. All right, let's see if we can find another trade here. Hey, we don't have anything right now on the NQ. See what happened on the 6E. Okay, we've still got that. This thing hasn't budged. 130.30, it's still sitting up here. Nobody's mentioned natural gas today. What's going on over there? GNG, what month are we in? Are we in July now on natural gas? Did Michael move you guys to July in natural gas today? Well, Francis says, well, Francis, the ES. Okay, I'll look at it. Yeah, that looks pretty good, doesn't it? who Frank says is a Russell setup. If the cycle stays blue, we may just take this as a momentum trade to the upside. I'd rather get the pullback. I don't know if I can manage two of these at one time. RLM M3. Yeah, that divergence, I'm not a fan of that. See, the green line needs to be up at the top, not down here with the cycle line. So can't do the Russell. No pull away. Yeah, that just we just don't have the criteria met there. Oh, what do we got? We should have been long this at 77.50. All right, well, if we can get in at 77.50, we'll take 77.50. That should have been our entry. Looks like we got it. We got slipped a tick. Typical in the ES, so we're in long 77.75. Now, because we have an eight-tick bracket, we've got to scoop this up one tick because our entry was 77.75. We had put our entry at 77.50, but we got slipped a tick on the entry, so 77.75. So we had to scoot our target up a tick so that we have exactly eight ticks on the upside if we want to honor the eight tick bracket. And then down here on the stop, same thing. We got to grab that stop loss and we got to move that up one tick to 15.75.75. So now we have eight ticks of risk, eight ticks potential target. And we know that 79, we traded right into that high. Right here. Okay. Swing high here is at 79, right? Yep. So 79, we're trading right into that thing. Michael says gold is setting up. Oh, I missed that. You already put that in, Michael. You said gold was setting up. And that is a short trade in gold. Got dynamic support right there, but we've got bearish divergence, got a bearish cross, got to pull away, getting ready to pull back. Now this 79, high of the day, swing high on this S&P. Certainly we would want to get our stop loss to break even plus a tick as quickly as possible on this trade. Big question, can we take out that swing high? Does everybody understand how I adjusted the target and the stop? I just grab it with a left click and you just drag it. And there's other ways of doing it, but that's how I do it. I just grab it and drag it. For those who don't know, on the DOM up here, you can shift that out to currency, ticks, or points, or if you don't want to look at it, you can hide it. So I've got it set on ticks right now. Okay, this goal looks like it's going to pull back here and give an entry. It's going to be trading right into that dynamic support. And if you look here on the gold chart, support held, resistance held, this support might hold here. I'm going to pass on trading into the dynamic support on gold. We'll watch it and see how it plays out. All the other criteria is met, but I happen to have this indicator loaded, and so it seems to be pinging off those pretty good. Support, resistance, support. Let's see what the S&P does. We can watch the S&P on the DOM. We can watch the gold on the chart. Rick asks, what is your criteria for moving the stop to break even? Well, I would like to see it get above 79. I want to see it go at least four ticks in my favor. I like to see it, you know, just be moving north. If it gets up here at, you know, 78, 75 and starts fidgeting around and can't seem to get through, then I'll probably just go ahead and push it right up. You got to let it move at least a few ticks, because with the S&P, you know, rarely do we see that thing just run. I mean, it just channels back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And supposedly, and I don't disagree, the theory behind that is all of the high-frequency trading computers that are, you know, playing, for lack of a better term, chess against one another. You know, they're pinging each other back and forth for a tick, a tick, a tick, a tick. If you read Mark Douglas's book, Trading in the Zone, Rick, you're going to hear him talk about that, and he's going to tell you, and then you have to decide how you're going to deal with that. The reason I recommend that book so much is for chapter 7, where it teaches you to think in probabilities. But when it comes to the stop, he's going to tell you that you don't move it. But you really should read the book. There's no charts in there, no indicators, no methodology. He simply teaches you how to think in probabilities. And if you've never read the book, it's really an eye opener. Okay. It just, the whole right and wrong thing, you see how flawed that thinking is. Okay. And we all get sucked into it. Every one of us, you know, no one escapes that, but you can't overcome it. So by all means, use that link that I put in the live trading room. Now, Audible, respectable company, an Amazon company, they're going to ask for your credit card or your Amazon account to take the free trial. If you don't cancel within 2 weeks or 30 days, they'll tell you when you go to take the free trial, you'll get billed $10 or whatever it is per month to be a member of the book club. But you can cancel at any time. In other words, you can download your free audio book and immediately, if you want, of course they want you to become a member, and I say take a good look at it because I'm a member, have been for a long time. I get a new audiobook every month. But you can download your free audiobook if it's Trading in the Zone or the other one that I talked about today, Steve Jobs' biography, download it. Once you've downloaded it, you can go right back in and say, I'd like to cancel my free trial. They won't give you any hassles or any heartache or any grief. They just let you cancel. So you're never charged a dime. The only way you get charged is if you stay a member past the 15-day free trial. The last time I checked, it was 2 weeks or 15 days. It's a great way to get a free audio book. And, of course, that's their way of advertising and saying, hey, we'd love you to become a member of our book club. And if you enjoy audio books, and I had never until, you know, a year and a half ago, I had never listened to an audio book, and I found that I very much enjoy it. Okay, see the S&P just channeling back and forth. It just can't get moving. This gold trade has pulled back to the BBC. The cycle is still red. Green line still perched up here. Everything is all lined up for this gold trade to still work out. Only reason I didn't take it, just a personal thing, is this dynamic support right here. I could have. I still could if it were to come down and break a trend line. In fact, based on the criteria of the setup, bearish cross, pull away, the first pull back, simply a down close right here would warrant you. I believe Michael would take that trade in the live trading room in the morning, just based on the down close. He would need, as long as the cycle stays red, it doesn't have to break the trend line. Is that not what he teaches you guys in the morning? I believe it is. All right, let's peek in on the S&P. There it is. Just sitting there. Run, Forrest, run. Or should I say, come on, baby. Whatever does the trick. Well, somebody just whispered in my ear that we could take a look at the crude. We in June crude now? Was that whisper in my ear? We must be looking at different months. We were looking at different months. This is not for me. I'm going to stay with what I know. I thought crude moved to June. Okay, let's wait this S&P trade out, and then it's been 3 hours since I sit down for this broadcast. I'm ready to stand up, move around, go breathe some fresh air, something. Hey, Ron, I don't know if you're out there listening or not, brother, but I always download the podcast at my earliest convenience. I'm caught up through yesterday. I didn't get yesterday's uploaded, but I will. Actually, it's uploaded. I just haven't put it on the blog yet. So, but I appreciate the fact that you always keep me on my toes. Our listener in Singapore, every day he emails me, can you get the podcast uploaded? So nice to know that somebody is listening. All right, this ES trade, just grinding sideways. Look at this. We've got one, two, three, four, candles in a row, unable to break. What do we got? This high is 77.50. I mean, we ticked up to 78.50. What's the high here? 78.25. Yes, we got one tick up, and then we just got slapped right back down. Green line is working its way up into the cycle. The cycle's still blue. We'll give it a few more minutes here. Let's see. John G. says, Dwayne, I got the Twitter on my phone, but have not been able to get CFRN on my phone with the Twitter alerts. Okay. Are you following CFRN on Twitter? If you on your desktop computer, you go to twitter.com, go to twitter.com/CFRN. When you get there, it's going to ask you, do you have a Twitter account? If you do, log in, or your desktop browser might automatically log you in if you were logged in earlier. Okay. So go to twitter.com/CFRN. You have to be logged into your account when you do this. And then on the CFRN page, there will be a button there that says follow. And if you click that button, you are now following CFRN. And then what happens is anything that I tweet out, it will show up in your stream on your Twitter page. Anyone that you choose to follow, anything they tweet out will show up in your stream. Which Twitter app did you put on your phone? Is it the native Twitter app from Twitter, or is it a third-party app like TweetDeck, or do you know? I mean, you should be able from your phone, if you've got Twitter on your phone and if you're logged into your account, you should be able on your mobile device to go to twitter.com/CFRN, or just in Twitter, just search CFRN and it'll take you to the CFRN page or channel or feed, whatever you want to call it. And all you got to do is click the button that says follow. All right, ZS Trade is, at least it's moving. Goodness gracious. At least it's moving. Let me know, John, if you get there on your phone, if you need some help. I'll be here for another minute or two. I'll try to help you. Jim says, we had a high volume spike at the top on the ES, sign of a reversal. I think you might be right, Jim. Looks to me like it's trying to reverse. We knew that area up there, 79, we knew that was going to be a tough area to break through. Why? Because of an indicator or anything else? No, not indicator related at all. In fact, let's go. Got to move this, and now let's look at it. How did we know that was going to be trouble? So easy. One of the easiest things in the world of trading is you just look at the chart. Okay? Just look at the chart, and the last swing high spells trouble to an advance. Just as the last swing low spells support to a decline. If the market's declining, there's a high probability that it's going to find some level of support here. And if the market's trying to rally, there's a high probability that it's going to find resistance up in this area. Now, we don't stay in a trading range forever, obviously, because or else there'd never be any new highs and new lows in the market. So this will get broken, or this will get broken. This swing low or this swing high, one of the two is going to get broken. Absolutely, positively guaranteed. Which one? I don't know. Okay, Gary says, I put support at CFRN.net in my email contact, and I still cannot get tweet from Twilert.com. That's because the email is coming from Twilert.com. You got to go find the email from Twilert that went in your spam box, and whatever the from address is there, Gary, you've got to add that to your contact list. You see, we don't actually send that email out. Twilert does. So that's going to come from, well, I can tell you who it comes from because I just got one earlier. Let me take a look here. Let me find it. Okay, Twilerts come from, this is the from address. Oh boy, that's a big one. Twilert via a whole string of stuff, .apphosting.bounces.google.com. You know what? You're going to have to go find that email on your own computer, and you're going to have to tell it. You're going to bring up that email, go to your spam box. Oh, I see it. Never mind. Alerts@twilert.com. That's what you want to add to your contact list. Alerts, A-L-E-R-T-S, at twilert.com. And I'm still curious, why is it you guys want to get the tweet sent to your email? A lot of people want that, and I just haven't figured out why. That's why I went out and found this third-party app for you guys so that you could do it. But I'm thinking that maybe somebody's missing something somewhere, and that you, why you, I don't know. Maybe you could tell me, why do you want to get it to your email? Well, Carrie, if you filled it out properly and if you put in the time that you want it to go and check, now I'll show you on my screen. Just look at my screen. Twilert.com. Okay, when you go to Twilert.com, you gotta get an account with them. I think. Pretty sure. Yeah, that way they can monetize you with the advertisers. Here we go. Okay, to sign in or create a Twilert account, you can use your Twitter account to automatically connect with Twilert. That's the easy way to do it. You don't got to give up a second. You don't got to go through that again. Okay. Enter your search terms and the time you'd like to receive your Twilert. Okay. Search CFRN pound. Uh, when every 10 minutes, you can just put in CFRN. And then it will send an email to the email address that you have on file with Twitter if you signed in with your Twitter account. Now, is this, tell me, is this what you did, Carrie? You went to Twilert and you filled all this out? No, not you, Gary. Carrie. So, Carrie, you put CFRN in here, and you put every 10 minutes in here, and you signed in, and you created an account on Twilert. You connected. Tell me how you connected, Carrie. Carrie, with a C, tell me how you connected. Did you connect with Twitter? Did you type in an email address or something and create an account? Tell me how you did that, Carrie. Type it in. Okay, this ES trade's about to get stopped out. Jim, I think you might have been spot on with that high spike, that high volume spike reversal. Who do you use as your email provider, Carrie? Who do you get your email from? Okay. Do you have the ability to search your Yahoo inbox? I don't use Yahoo. I have a Yahoo account, but I don't use it. Do you have the ability to search in Yahoo? See, Google gives a nice, no, not Yahoo search. No, search in your email. That's good, Jim. Hey, Michael, if you're listening, can you – I'm forwarding you this email. I don't know what's going on here. I'll type in a message over here. Okay, this thing is just about out. All right, I'm going to open up, Carrie, my – well, here's the thing. You know what, Carrie? You signed up. You didn't get it. I guess it's broke. I don't know. I can't help you. When did you sign up? I haven't sent out a tweet today. Yeah, maybe Twilert just doesn't work with your email. Okay, we finally got stopped out. I don't know what to tell you. But you didn't answer my question. Why do you want it sent to your email? Okay, Don's giving me an answer. The reason for email may be the ability to know when a tweet is sent versus the volume of tweets to be checked, having to watch the Twitter app, just a thought. Well, but you still got to go check your email. You check your email, you check your Twitter feed. I mean, and with the Twitter app, you can tell it to push a notification so your phone doesn't go off every time somebody sends a tweet, only when CFRN sends a tweet. You can do that. So you signed up a few days ago, Carrie, and you filled out everything properly. And you got the confirmation email from Twilert, and you clicked the link in the confirmation email from Twilert, and then you still aren't getting the alerts. you should probably email their customer support team and see if they can figure it out. I know that when I signed up, everything was going to the spam box. Yeah, John. So that's John G. That's going to work very good for you having it on your phone like that. So yeah, Carrie. I mean, if when I originally signed up, I didn't think it was working. I went to the spam box or the bulk. No, I think it was the promotions folder, and there it was. And I had to click a confirmation link in the email that said, "Yeah, I really do want to get these alerts." And then they started coming. So yeah, maybe you can. Well, no. See, the fact that you haven't added alerts at twylert.com to your contact list, that doesn't prevent those emails from going to your spam box or your promotions folder or anything else. So that's the thing about computers and about email, and it's all kind of automated. I mean, one of the problems we run into is when our computer starts making decisions for us. Oh, well, I think this piece of email is important, so I'm going to put it over here. And I think this piece of email is not important, so I'm going to put it over here. And this piece of email I think is garbage, I'm going to put it over here. See? Now, is that a help or a hindrance? Well, I know that Gmail, we use Gmail apps to run our business. It weeds out hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of pieces of garbage email every day that I would not want to have to take the time to look at and handle myself. So for the occasional piece of email that slips through and gets put in the spam by mistake, I guess I'm willing to live with that. But I also know that when I'm looking for a particular email or I'm supposed to get something from somebody, and that's the key, is if you know, then Gmail makes it very easy to search, and with a click, it searches your inbox, your spam box, your sent folder, your archives folder, your promotions folder, your bulk folder. It literally searches every folder inside of your email client. Yahoo, I used it years ago for email for a little bit, but not very much. I mean, even though our email address is at cfrn.net, we still use Google Apps to power our email address. Well, that's probably more information than you really wanted, but I would check out Gmail just because it works. And if Yahoo works, then, you know, if this is the only thing you have problems with in regards to Yahoo email, I wouldn't change my way of living over this. It's just a tweet. All right, well, good luck. I hope you do sort it out. Don says, I had the alert set. My dog was startled when you sent tweets late in the night, even when the phone was on vibrate. I had to turn it off. Yeah, you know, that's an issue, too, because I might send out a tweet. I might be sitting here at my desk at midnight Pacific time. That's 3 a.m. East Coast time. It could happen. And so that's something when you decide to put Twitter on your phone or have text messages sent to your phone, you know, do you want to be bothered in the middle of the night? And see, some people can't turn their phone off in the middle of the night because they need their phone on so that they can get, you know, an important or emergency phone call. If someone's sick or gets hurt, you know, you want to be able to be reached even in the middle of the night. So it's a trade-off. It's kind of what Douglas Rushkoff was talking about yesterday, and it's part of, you know, the premise of his book, Current Shock or Future Shock, whatever the name of it was, is that we're this always-on generation, always plugged in, afraid we're going to miss something, you know. I'm guilty of it. Boy, am I ever. Yes, Alan, that's what we're saying. All right, guys, I'm going to have to head out of here. I've been in this chair way too long. Hey, any questions? I'm going to sign off, guys. I've solved all your email problems, your Twitter problems. Actually, I didn't solve any problems. I just created them, I think. I'm sorry. Maybe I should stop tweeting to cause issues for people. I'm just scrolling up through the chat box right now to see if I missed anything at all. I don't think so. Okay. All right, guys. I hope you all the very best with that Twilert thing and with the whole Twitter thing. All right, guys, that's it. I'm going to really sign out. I've been threatening to do it now for a long time. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.